जय शिशुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदवोड़ि वैष्णव बृंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामगुंड राधागुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhagavale Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasvati Gauravani Prayagini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Vashadhyare Shadharini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धरभवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथा मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमना तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्मार्जस्य यतोन्वयादितरद चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृगं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितगैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणं सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वावरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम् यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं त्वय्वायनो विरहकादरमजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदं तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणया पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुपुनिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि काविकापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् श्रीनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीमल गुरु चरणारविंदाभ्याम नमः। वंदे नंद ब्रज स्त्रीनाम पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासाम हरिकदोद्गीतं पुनाधि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविंद प्रमाणवे नमः। पीतांबरं करविराजित चक्रशंखं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणा समुद्रं राधा सहायमति सुंदर मंदहासं वातालये शमनिशं प्रतिभावयामि। कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्य परं ब्रह्म भासदं पुरतो मम। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाघवम्। श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकाये नमः सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद। ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रदिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायी अम्बत्वामनुसंधदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोस्तुते व्यास विशाल बुद्धि फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपा प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत्। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। विष्मद्रोणदडा जयद्रथजल गान्धारनीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल। अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव। पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कज कलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दे दिवेस्तवे वेदे संगमदे क्रमोपनिषदेर्गायन्दियं समगाः। ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्यान्दम् अपि दुःसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द। In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmastuti is the 14th chapter in the 10th canto. 14th chapter in the 10th canto. Lord Brahma sees Krishna in Vrindavanam, particularly in that form of a cowherd boy. That is how the scene is. In the 13th chapter,
Brahma says, 14th chapter is Brahma's glorification of Krishna. 13th chapter is the circumstances which brought Brahma there from Brahmalokam. And when he came, what he saw there, he says, if you look into the 13th chapter, you will see at the end of that, Brahma is saying, Yatra naisargadurvaira sahasan nurmugadaya mitrani va ajidavasa drugarur tarshagadigam. The 60th verse. The 13th chapter has 64 verses, but the 60th verse, Yatra naisargadurvaira sahasan nurmugadaya mitrani va ajidavasa drugarur tarshagadigam. Lord Brahma sees Krishna and in the form of a cowherd boy and pays obeisances to him. That is how Brahma Stuti begins in the Bhagavatam. You can see Brahma Vacha, the first verse itself, Naumi Dhyade Abhravabushe Tadidambaraya Gunjavadam Savarivinjalasan Mukhaya Vanyasraje Kabala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade Pashubangajaya. So the first verse is seeing Krishna there and offering obeisances. And that feeling what Brahma had at that time when he saw Krishna there, if we also have the same feeling, the world will be like Vrindavanam. Vrindavanam's speciality is the verse in the 60th verse in the last chapter, that when Krishna is present in the heart, he says here that in Vrindavanam, what did Brahma see there? Brahma saw that wild animals and human beings, they were living there in a very friendly relationship. No enmity each other. And due to Krishna's presence, anger, greed, and lust and things like that, they could not enter into Vrindavanam. It was such an atmosphere Krishna's presence has created in Vrindavanam. That is what he's saying here. That just like Vrindavanam, due to Krishna's presence, how it has changed. Brahma's prayer is, in a similar way, because of Krishna's presence within the heart, even our heart also should become like Vrindavanam, free from these unwanted emotions like anger, greed, and things like that. So that is what he's saying here. Yatra naisarga durvaira sahasan nurmrgadaya mitrani vajidavasa shudatul tarshagadigam. So, why is it said like that? Because actually, the world is actually present inside us. That is the important principle. The world is present inside us. So, once we have realized that all these things belongs to Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna, if once that realization is strong, then all other kinds of anger, ill feelings and desires will disappear from us due to that realization. When we realize that everything belongs to Krishna, that realization hasn't come. Therefore, we have this difficulty with the world. The world which is present inside us, and that world depends on that when we realize it is all Krishna's. Just like here, Yatra Naisarga Durvairam. Naisarga Durvairam means all the Naisargiya means in the natural way they have this inimical relationship between animals and the humans beings. Among animals also, and among the animals and human beings, among human beings also. That Sahasan Narmragadaya, that they found that difficult to live together. But in Vrindavanam, they were able to mitrani vajida avasa shudadur shudadarul shatasharul tarshagadigam. that they were able to live like friends in Vrindavanam without any enmity each other. So you can see from this that why do we get angry with people, others, or for any other reason? The reason is this, that when things don't happen the way we want things to happen, that is when we get upset, is it not? When things happen in this world in the way, does not happen in the way we want that to happen, then we get upset. Then we get upset, we get angry and things like that. But what Krishna is saying, what Brahma is pointing out is that, from his own experience, that does this world go on according to our plan? Brahma's question is that, does this world go on according to our plan? Or does it work according to Krishna's desire, according to Krishna's plan? This is the question Brahma is posing there at the end of last chapter, on the 13th chapter. So, therefore, if I am not particular about anything, I am not concerned about it, or in other words, if I am not particular, or I am not my own decisions and my own interests goes away, then immediately you will realize that you don't feel anymore concerned about anything happening in this world according to your plan. It happens to us like this because we think everything should happen according to our plan. Therefore, we have a problem. But once we know that the world is running based on Krishna's plan, then you cannot anymore feel concerned or feel you don't feel that it has to happen the way you want it to happen. Once that goes away, then the anger also goes away. Then there is no more, as Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, that shoka harsham bhayam krodham lobham mohas prahadaya. All of these things is only because of the ahankaram inside. It should happen according to my plan, according to my desire. Or, according to my desires, I want this to happen, or I want that particular thing, or this particular thing. These things will go away when once that desire leaves us. Desire leaves us. In that situation, when we have acknowledged everything is Krishna's property, everything, Krishna is running this planet, Krishna is in control, in charge here, then our desires will immediately disappear and these particular concerns about the world, they will go away. And when it did not happen the way we want that to happen, if it didn't happen that way, due to that, whatever unhappiness has come to the mind, that will also go away. That will also go away. Anger goes away, and shanti or peace or happiness or bliss will come to our own mind. We will feel that happiness inside. And if one is able to experience that by realizing that the world does not belong to us, it belongs to Krishna. And Krishna is keeping this planet going. Brahma is slowly bringing us to his understanding, what he has realized after the experience with Krishna. Then he is saying to us, that if you can come to that realization, because this is what has happened to Brahma. After Brahma wanted to test Krishna's position, and after that experience Brahma had with Krishna, he is opening up his heart and talking to us what he felt. That's what he is saying here. Tatrodvahat pashubhavam shashishutvanatyam Brahma dvayam paramananda makhada bodham valsan sahini vapura parido vijinvan Egam sapani kabalam parameshte chashtaham. In the last chapter, you will see at the end, Brahma is opening up his heart and saying certain things. So his point is that to that situation, like Brahma has arrived, we also should able to come to that state. So for that purpose, Krishna has given us this human form of body. And for that purpose, we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also. That means to know that things are happening in this world, Krishna has decided that that's the way it should happen. And there is something more to know beyond than that. First thing is to know everything is happening according to Krishna's desire, Krishna's plan. But when we say that everything is happening according to Krishna's desire or Krishna's plan, there is something still remaining. What is that? I remain. Who is saying this, is it not? When we say that everything belongs to Krishna, everything happens here according to Krishna's plan, when we say that, still there remains I who is saying this. Who is saying this is still remain. So, therefore, in the Upanishads, although it says, Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam, everything is Brahmam, or in the Isha Upanishad, what you know, Ishavasam Idam Sarvam, Yalkinja Jagatyam Jagat. Ishavasam Idam Sarvam, everywhere it is Krishna. Ishavasam Idam Sarvam, in everything there is only Krishna is present. Yet Kinja Jagatyam Jagat, and whole planet, all, whole thing belongs to Krishna, and it is working according to Krishna's plan. When we say that, still there is a person there who knows that this is what is happening. Ishavasamidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat. When we say that, even at that stage, there is a person remaining who knows that this is what it is it not? So, that person who knows these things, he says, he is saying that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is happening according to Krishna's desire. Ishavasam idam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat. He is saying all these things. But ultimately, this person who is saying this, he should also know that he is also Krishna's property. When he is declaring this, Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam, Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yat Kenja Jagatyam Jagat, in other words, the whole planet or the whole creation belongs to Krishna. Everything here is happening according to Krishna's desire. When we say that, still remains there the person who is saying that, is it not? So that person also has to eventually realize that he, the person who is saying this, also belongs to Krishna. Not only the world, not only the all other living beings in this world, but also the person who is thinking this or saying this also belongs to Krishna. So if we get that confirmation inside, then we will escape from here. If we can come to realize that understanding, not only the world belongs to Krishna, not only all other living beings belongs to Krishna. Krishna has the creator. So from Krishna came everything. And we saying this while declaring that, we are outside that. But the moment we realize that the person, whoever is saying this, also belongs to Krishna, if he has come to that understanding, then he is free. So, everything belongs to Krishna, I am also belonging to Krishna. This is the understanding, that's what Brahma is, Brahma realized. Everything belongs to Krishna, I also belong to Krishna. So, it is at that time one will experience or one will get the whole benefit of chanting the holy name of Krishna. You see there,
Mitrani va jidava sa drudarul tarshagadigam.
Then, so in order to say this, it took a while for Lord Brahma. Brahma finally said that I am also Krishna's. Up to this point, our ahankaram will say that we are independent. That freedom, independence to think that I am independent of Krishna, that is the ahankaram. Even though we may accept that everything belongs to Krishna, Krishna is the sole proprietor of everything, and it is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, this whole creation. But still, when we make that Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Chakatyam Chakat, it's all Krishna's. Even though acknowledge that, at the same time we remain separate from that. But when we realize that this us or I or whoever it may be, also accept that he is also Krishna's, that understanding must come at the end. That is what Brahma realized at the last minute. That is what he is saying here. When we say Brahma, what does Brahma means? When this is spoken in a way to make us understand the importance of this. Brahma actually is the predominating deity of our intelligence, isn't it? Buddhi is under Brahma. Buddhi is Brahma. Brahma is the predominating deity of intelligence. Like we have Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Vasudeva is in the Chittam, Sankarsana is the Ahankaram, Pradyumna is the intelligence, Aniruddha is the mind. In our subtle body, operating like that. But the sum total of all the intelligence is actually Brahma. Brahma is that intelligence. And why it is spoken here, Brahma is brought in here, is it is through this intelligence. It is through this intelligence that we make certain conclusions, isn't it? That this world is in this particular way, or it's functioning in a particular way. All these decisions are made with the intelligence. When that intelligence is telling us that everything belongs to Krishna, and I am also Krishna. I am also Krishna's property. If in this way, if our intelligence starts functioning, that takes time to come to that understanding. Because ahankaram won't allow that to happen. Ahankaram won't allow that to happen. But the intelligence which is controlled by, which is Lord Brahma's, is the predominating deity of the intelligence. And that intelligence has to tell us, our own intelligence has to tell us, that everything belongs to Krishna, I also belong to Krishna. And that has to become firm in our realizations, in our understanding. As long as that understanding has not happened, that realization has not happened, no matter how much we read and how much we hear, still, somewhere inside us, that buddhi will not accept it. Buddhi will not accept it. That is the problem. That till we understand that in the intelligence, that everything belongs to Krishna, ultimately we also belong to Krishna. That understanding, that is a difficult thing. Ahankaram won't allow that to happen. Ultimately, you will think, I am independent, I am on my own, I make the decision. I know what I have to do. That freedom from that, thinking that I am belonging to Krishna, I am also Krishna's, like everything else is Krishna's, why am I not belonging to Krishna? That way we don't think like that. We are always thinking, we say this, that like in the Bhagavadam, where it says everything belongs to Krishna. Upanishad also says everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasam idam sarvam. We accept all that. But while accepting all that, the person who is accepting this, he is not accepting that he also belongs to Krishna. That acceptance has not happened. And so long as that acceptance has not happened, the other acceptance of all other things will still remain as an unknown thing. Will remain as an unknown thing. So, in order to get that confirmation inside us, that we also belong to Krishna, that is a most difficult thing. That is the most difficult thing. Because ahankaram or ego will not allow that. Ahankaram will not allow that. That is what we will see. Normally if we look at it, we are hearing all the time from Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. But at the same time, it's coming and going. But we remain separate from that. We remain separate from that. But to come to that, and confirmation inside in our brain or intelligence, whatever we call that, in that intelligence it is not fixed yet. Like if everything belongs to Krishna, am I not also belongs to Krishna? Logically it is there, it is correct. Logically, if everything belongs to Krishna, I also belong to Krishna. But inside us, our ahankaram will not accept that. Because our intelligence, who is Brahma's manifestation inside us, will not allow that acceptance of that truth. That's why, for example, what does intelligence mean? Intelligence means whatever we have heard in this world, whatever we have seen in this world, and whatever we have analyzed it by seeing and hearing from this world, and whatever conclusions we have come up by seeing and observing things here and scrutinizing and analyzing that, whatever conclusions we have come from that, that keeping all that conclusions, we decide within our own intelligence that if the world is like this, it is good. If the world is like this, like in a different way, it is bad. In this way we believe about this world. Like when we have, based on our experiences in this world, is it not? What we have seen here, what's going on here. We ourselves analyze it within us in a very subtle level, and we come to the conclusion that if things are like this, the world is good. If the things are not like this, the world is bad. In such a way we come to conclusions. But with that same intelligence which has done this analysis, that same intelligence, when she starts saying that everything is Krishna's, and similarly I am also Krishna's, so if that conviction or conclusion has come inside us, then Things will change. And in order to get that understanding, one has to use one's own intelligence also. One's own intelligence. So only by using our own intelligence, with the logic what Brahma has spoken there, that everything belongs to Krishna means I am also belonging to Krishna. And in order to change this intelligence or the ahankaram to go away, it can only be done through that intelligence. It is not possible for anything else to change that decision inside. It is a big problem, because in spiritual life, this is what we are battling against. We are saying that whatever Shastram saying is true. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. We are accepting that. But at the same time, we are not accepting that I am also Krishna's. That acceptance has not happened inside. That is because of the degree of ahankaram inside. Will not allow that to accept that conclusions. This is the difficulty. And that is why, in spite of hearing, reading, listening to so much from the Shastram, our false ego inside is still making independent decisions. It is not accepting the fact that if everything is Krishna's, it simply remains in the lips. It's not going deeper than that. That ahankaram will not allow that to accept that principle, that ishavasya vidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Senses, for example, if you look at the senses, after the senses have enjoyed, it had sense gratification in this world, after a while it realizes that senses will tell us that there is no happiness in this sense gratification. After enjoying senses, why? Because senses will get weaker one day. And when the senses become weaker, we will start seeing this, that this happiness from the senses is not worthwhile pursuing. It's not worthwhile chasing up. The senses themselves will give us that understanding, that sense enjoyment has a limit. One day senses will become very weak, and after that you can't enjoy the senses anymore. So you will start seeing sense enjoyment as something that's not worthwhile chasing after. When it realizes that, senses will withdraw from sense enjoyment. Senses don't want the sense enjoyment anymore. When it comes to this understanding, and when the senses are enjoying, behind that there is the mind. Mind goes and enjoys through the senses, through the senses. And mind also, when the senses withdraw, how? Because the mind withdraws from the sense enjoyment. So you can see the connection with the mind and the senses. Indriyani pararahu indriyebhya paramana, Bhagavad Gita. So mind and the senses are so closely connected that we withdraw from sense gratification when we realize that this sense enjoyment is not going to give us happiness at the end. At some point in time in life, one comes to that conclusion. In the same way, intelligence also should think about everything analytically, and it should analyze the situation. So when will intelligence, like mind and the senses, surrender at some point? In the same way, intelligence will also surrender at some point. So only at that time, and that is this point, when intelligence is dictating to us from inside that I belong to Krishna. I am Krishna's property. Which means my body, my mind, my intelligence, everything what I have is Krishna's. But intelligence to surrender like that, it will take some time, unlike the mind and the senses. Mind and the senses, like sense gratification, which comes through the mind. Mind and senses, when it gets tired, it will withdraw. But intelligence nature is little different. Intelligence will say, in order that to completely surrender to in front of Krishna, that or to offer everything to Krishna. In other words, like the way Brahma did. Brahma is the predominating deity of intelligence. It took a while for Brahma to surrender. We can see that in the Bhagavatam. So just like it took a while for Brahma to surrender in front of Krishna, and the same way our intelligence inside us also to surrender, for to do that, we have to use this intelligence in analyzing the situation. So whatever we have heard before, or whatever we have seen before, whatever we have thought about before, whatever we have known from this world and from the Shastram before, Krishna is beyond all these things. Whatever we have seen from this world, heard from this world, analyzed this world, and whatever we have thought about this world, Krishna's position is Krishna is beyond all those things. And that has to be known inside us by the intelligence itself. By the intelligence itself. You will see this coming in the Brahmastuti very nicely. Brahma's point. Brahma is explaining to us that is what is the importance of Brahmastuti. Brahma is predominating deity of the intelligence. So, even though other realizations may come in life, eventually to accept that we belong to Krishna, we are Krishna's property. Whatever we have with us in this world, in the form of this body, mind, intelligence, whatever it is, it's all Krishna's. But to come to that realization, it takes time and it requires a lot of effort, a lot of effort. So, this is what you will see, that Krishna is beyond even intelligence, even beyond intelligence. And this has to be known through the intelligence, that we can't include Krishna within the framework of the mind, body, senses and the world. And even the intelligence, even beyond that is Krishna, and that has to be known through intelligence only. It has to be known through intelligence. So you can see here, Brahmastuti, or this 14th chapter, which where Brahma is glorifying Krishna, he says, you have to remember, Shastra Yoni is Brahma. Brahma is Shastra Yoni. Shastra Yoni means, all Shastram has come through Brahma, is it not? Everything through Brahma it has been spoken. Through Brahma it has been spoken. So, that means, after hearing all the Shastra, for example, when Krishna revealed the knowledge, first he revealed to Brahma. And he heard everything through the four heads, as it says in the Bhagavadam. You can see, Chalishlogi Bhagavadam, Brahma heard first. Brahma heard first. What was given to Brahma is the knowledge of the self first, which is called Bhagavadam, which was spoken later to Narada Maharshi. Sri Narada Maharshi spoke to Vedavyas, Vedavyas to Shukam Brahmarshi, Brahmagam Brahmarshi to Parikshit. In this way, that cycle continued. So, Brahma is called generally as Shastra Yoni, which means that he has heard all the Shastram. You will see that in the third canto, Brahma himself saying that. Three times he has gone up and down through all the Shastrams, and after analyzing the Shastram, thinking the tattvam behind it, what that is, that he realized that only through Krishna's grace alone that we will go further from here in this world. Only through Krishna's grace this can happen. This was the conclusion Brahma has arrived. So, in order that if we want to study this Brahmastuti properly to understand Brahmastuti, and generally it is said that if you want to properly assimilate or absorb this message of the Brahmastuti, if it is to be properly absorbed, then one has to know everything else, all the Vedas, complete Vedic literature, Vedas, Upanishads and Vedangam, the other branches of learning, all the other Shastram, everything one has to know well to understand this Brahmastuti. That is how Sridhara Swami and others talk about it. To understand Brahmastuti, because Brahma is Shastra Yoni. Shastra Yoni means all Shastram, nobody else has studied more than Brahma. Lord Brahma was given all the Shastram, the transcendental knowledge was imparted to Brahma. Krishna has given to Brahma first. Brahma keeping that seed verses from him, he expanded through his austerities and penances, analyzed it and absorbed it very well. And that is why he was able to instruct Narada Maharshi later. From there you can understand there is nobody who has taken Shastram so seriously like Brahma. So because it is like that, Brahma's conclusion was that even though he studied Shastram, but still he has to get that grace from Krishna, Krishna's mercy, to get that understanding from Shastram, the message in the Shastram, to absorb that and to realize it. Brahma says, without Krishna's grace, it's not possible that to happen. So, in the same way, Brahmastuti, this, who is saying this? Brahma, who has studied all the Vedam, Upanishad, Shastram, everything very well. And that Brahma is saying to us that, so, therefore, it is like that. But, here you will see one interesting thing in Brahmastuti. In Brahmastuti, you will find something interesting. What is that? That's this. That even though the reality is like that, in these verses, in these 60 odd verses which Lord Brahma has spoken in the Bhagavadam, Brahma is saying there that even if all the other knowledge of the Shastram, Upanishads, Vedam, everything, leave them behind, they are not everything. They are not everything. Brahma is actually refuting all that. Normally, to understand Brahmastuti, one need to go through the Vedam, Upanishads and Puranam, everything. But here Brahma is saying in the Brahmastuti that it is not like that. He says that whatever you have learned or heard before, you can leave that behind. But simply take Krishna shelter. Simply take Krishna shelter, you will understand Brahmastuti then. You will understand Brahmastuti then. So, in order that to understand that, why is Brahma saying like this? That in order to do that, we should be able to go beyond everything and able to think about that vastu, that tattvam, which is beyond all these things, and we should be able to connect with that. That is Krishna Tattvam. Krishna Tattvam means that in order to deny all these things, for example, in the Upanishads and all, you see in 1880, not this, not this, not this, not this, so many not this there. But if everything is refuted, what remains after that? To understand that is the last thing, what remains, and that is Krishna Tattvam, Krishna's Tattvam. So, that absolute truth, which is Krishna, in order to get confirmation, what remains even beyond Upanishads, Shastram, Vedam, and all other Puranam, everything, beyond that, that one truth remains, and but to get there, you got to reject all the, deny everything else what we hear before. So, so first thing what Brahma does in the Brahmastuti is this. He establishes this truth. That truth which is beyond everything, he establishes that truth, Krishna. The Krishna Tattvam is spoken in the first verse itself. Shri Brahma Uvacham Naumi Tedebra Babushe Tadidambaraya Gunjavadam Saparivinjalasan Mukhaya Vanyasraje Kabalavetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Shriye Madhubade Pashubangajaya. That Brahma begins the prayers like this. He says, I pay my obeisances to you, to Krishna. That Naumidya means I pay my obeisances to you, because till now, I have been hearing about you. How? From four different faces. He had four faces. Through four different faces, four Vedas had come. Through that four Vedas were talking about you. And then all the corollaries of the other Vedams, like Jyotisham, Kalpam, Niruktam, Vyakaranam and other things, Upangam, they are called Upangam, all of them. Then through all the Puranas, Puranam, Itihasas, all of these things are glorifying about this one Vastu, about this one Vastu, Krishna, and continuously glorifying that, and that Vastu is standing here in front of me. Brahma says, now Idhya, Idhya means, who is that Vastu is this Idhya, who is standing in front of me. Naomi dhyade te bravabushe tadidambaraya. So, I can only glorify this Vastu who is standing before me, who is beyond all the Vedam, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihasas, everything. And I can now, right now, I am seeing that Vastu right in front of me, and I pay my obeisances to that Vastu here. So, you will notice one thing. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in several places, Lord Brahma glorifies Krishna. Is it not? And in many places before also, in Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see Krishna being glorified by Brahma. For example, when Krishna appeared, Brahma came, that time Garbhastuti, while being in Devaki's womb, at that time, Krishna, Brahma glorified Krishna. Prior to that, in several places, you will see Brahma coming and glorifying Krishna. The interesting thing is, in all those glorifications, Krishna has been spoken as a person beyond the three modes of material nature, or as purely Brahman. And that is how all the other prayers are. Mostly spoken as Brahman. He is Brahman himself and beyond the three modes of material nature. But here what do you see? There Brahma didn't mention this. But here he says, Pashubhangajaya Naumidyade Bravabushe Tadidambaraya Gunjavadam Sabarivinjalasan Nukhaya Vanyasraje Kabalavetra Vishanave Lakshmashriye Madhubade Pashubhangajaya Pashubhangajaya, he says. So that Brahman, until now, Vedas could not explain the Brahman. Shastras could not explain the Brahman. And when it could not explain that Vastu, what it is, that Brahman, right now, here, I am experiencing here directly in front of me, I know that Vastu, what is spoken in the Vedam and Shastram, could not explain perfectly. That Brahman is manifesting in front of me like this, in this form, in the form of this cowherd boy, says Brahma. Pashubhangajaya. So, Brahma is saying, this cowherd boy is that Brahma. Cowherd boy is that Brahma. And confirming that, Brahma pays his obeisances to Krishna. Brahma pays obeisances to Krishna. So, normally, Brahma is impersonal, isn't it? Brahma has no form. And Brahma also has Brahman has no name, Brahman has no form, and Brahman has no activities either. That is how Brahman is generally understood. Brahman has no form, Brahman has no name, Brahman has no activities either. But here, right in front of Brahma, Brahma is saying, he is standing here, Pashubhangajaya, like a cowherd boy in front of me. And how can I take this as Brahman who is standing in front of me? He says, Naumi Dyade Bravabushe. That's the answer. Naumi Dyade Bravabushe. He says, who says Brahman has no form? Who says Brahman has no form? For example, when you are standing close to some object, standing close to an object. If you are very close to a big object, so suppose there is a big object, and if you are standing very close to that object, you won't be able to see the whole object properly because you are so close to the object, isn't it? For example, just like in the, if you cinema theater, there's a huge screen. Suppose you are sitting right in front of the screen, then you won't know the everything, what is going on in the screen, because you are too close to it, is it not? So, but if you want to see everything what is going on in the screen, you have to go far away from the screen and remain at a distance from the screen in order to see everything what is happening in the screen. Everything happening in the screen. Similarly, because Krishna is so close to us, present inside us, Antaryami, Krishna is not clear to us what Krishna is, because He is too close to us. In everything what we do, in everything what we think, in everything what we engage in this world, because Krishna is so close to us, we are unable to detect Krishna's presence in us. You can see this. Look at the sky. When you look at the sky, you are seeing a bluish color everywhere, isn't it? Abhram, that is that word Abhram, what is used here? Te Abhravapushe. That bluish color of the sky, he is saying here, that and Abhram means the bluish clouds. And when you look at that sky, from a long distance, you can see that it is bluish there, color is bluish. But when we look from a long distance from here, all you are seeing is a bluish color in the sky. How Brahma is asking this, that this color what you are seeing in the sky at a long distance from here, is that not Krishna's color? Abhravavushe etadidam varayam. Then, Krishna, Brahma is saying, when you see that color, you have to recognize that it is Krishna who is present there in that color. And in the similar way, because Krishna is so close to us, present inside our heart, busy in keeping this whole thing functioning, we are unable to recognize Krishna's presence in here. So, because Krishna is so big and our power of detection or the eyes are so small, what we are perceiving within us from about Krishna is only a very small part of that. Therefore, you are seeing this sky in this form and unable to recognize Krishna's full form, what He is. And we say this, we feel as though there is no form for Krishna. Krishna has no form. That is what in the first line He is bringing about. Naumi idyate abhravapushe tadidambaraya. That it is impossible to understand Krishna. Brahma says, like this, that abhravapushe, that this whole bluish cloud of in the sky, the whole sky, the space, which is filled with bluish color, is saying there, that there is a movement of that yellow garment which Krishna is wearing. Sometimes you see that wearing of that garland in the form of lightning in the sky. Except all these things, we are not seeing anything more than that. We are unable to perceive the whole Krishna's form. And We also don't see the garment Krishna is wearing because it is too close to us. Gunjavadamsa paribhinjalasan mukhaya. Brahma says there. But now Brahma is saying, I am able to see Krishna properly. I am able to see Krishna properly. Because when Krishna's mercy started coming to Brahma, it is at that time Brahma started seeing Krishna properly. It is not a poetic description. It is not. Why? You will see that when we go through these verses. Why Brahma said like that? That now when he saw Krishna in front of him, bluish color, yellow garment, with the flute in the hand, like a cowherd boy standing there, and seeing in Krishna and recognizing who Krishna is. Previously, all other glorifications in the Bhagavatam, when Brahma glorified Krishna, he glorified the impersonal aspect of Brahma, formless, without any attributes, without the three modes of material nature, present, without name, without form. Brahma glorified Krishna. Everywhere else you can see that. Brahmastuti you will see, in the Garbhastuti you will see that. Then Brahmanarada Samvadam, when Brahma first, the Vedas were revealed to him, that time the prayers were like that. And in several other instances also you will observe the same thing. But here first time Brahma is recognizing that this form what is in front of me is Brahma itself, because here he is saying Krishna has all the peacock feather, then the garland of forest flowers, he is wearing them. In the hand he has got the cane to tending the cows, the flute in the hand, and the musical instrument, the horn which Krishna used to play. All these things Krishna is able, Brahma is able to see now. And Brahma is thinking, previously I didn't see this form, he says. I didn't see this form. But this was there before also as Brahman when he addressed. But I could not understand that, he says there. And I did not have that clarity in my vision. I didn't get that clarity in my vision. So he is saying here, who says that Brahman has no form? Who says Brahman has no form? He says. So, and who says Brahman has no name? And Brahman's name is Krishna, says Lord Brahma. Brahman's name is Krishna, says Lord Brahma. How is he able to know? Because you will see in the previous chapter, if you look, you will see there, in the 13th chapter, when Brahma saw Krishna, he is saying here, that realization of the Upanishads is working through Brahma. 55th verse, evam sagrada darshaja parabrahmatmano akhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sajaracharam. Evam sagrada darshaja parabrahmatmano akhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sajaracharam. That is a Upanishad's verse it is. What has come there? You see, that due to whose presence this whole creation is appearing like the way it is now. That, and that Purna Brahman, complete Brahman, in that Brahman, what did he see? He saw all the children, the calves, and all other accessories what they had. Brahma saw that. Evam sagradadarshaja parabrahm atmano akhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sacharacharam. That is the most important statement. Yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sacharacharam. By whose presence we are, what it means is that when we look at this world, when we are seeing that all these things exist, how do we get that understanding? Where is that coming from? Yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sacharacharam. All moving, unmoving things here. their presence is felt inside us. Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. Only by Krishna's presence inside us or Brahman's presence inside us that we are perceiving the awareness or the existence of all, we have the awareness of the existence of everything in this world. That is a subtle understanding of that. Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi sa characharam. That without that presence of that awareness inside us, due to what? That is Krishna. This is how Brahma is seeing Krishna. Brahma is seeing, and that awareness has come in front of me in this form, like a cowherd boy, says Brahma. Evam sagar dadarshaja parabrahmam almano akhilan. As the Alma, parabrahmam has come as the Alma of everybody. Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi sacharacharam. By whose presence alone everything appears that it all exists for us now. We feel the existence of everything in this creation due to the presence of Krishna's or Brahma's presence in everywhere. If he is not there, we won't experience this existence of this world. It will not be experienced inside us. That is the principle. So that is what Brahma is saying here in the prayers. When I look at this, he says, Brahma says, I am able to see so many things. Where is this coming from? Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. That's because of Krishna's presence in them. He is the only one who is present here. But we are not seeing it like that. We are seeing everything different bodies, different names. But Brahma is saying, I am now seeing that this cowherd boy who is standing in front of me is the same person who is present in everything. Brahma's realizations coming from that. It is due to his presence that I experience that all these things are existing. It is due to his presence. Thus realization, that is what he said before. That yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi sacharacharam. And you will also see after that he says, Chacharajo jnatva sabadi paramoja javanikam. The verse after that. Idhireshe atarke nijamahimane sapratimikipramitike paratraja dodan nirasanamukha brahma kamitau anihishe bidrashtam kimidamidiva mukhyadisati chachalajo jnatva sabadi paramoja javanikam. 57th verse. You can notice these verses. 55, 57. They are Upanishad's verses. Brahma, after all, who else has studied Upanishads better than Brahma? So Brahma knows them. And when he sees this, he say here, that, that what does he say? Idireshe atarke nijamahimani mahimani sopramitike paratraja dodan nirasanamukha brahma kamitau anihishe bidrashtam kimidamidiva mukhyadisati chachada jojnyatva sabadi paramoja javanikam. Brahma is saying that without any argument, there is no necessity to argue about this, he is saying. And argument will not give you this realization either. That is one point. And his glory, that means this Antaryami inside, whose glory is beyond our explanations. You can't even talk about its glories. On its own, its nature is awareness, that it is always making us aware that he is existing. And it's always blissful and full of knowledge, and always beyond material nature, three modes of material nature. And it is also explained in the Upanishads as not this in that way. And that Brahman, that was difficult for Lord Brahma to cope with that. Cope in the sense that could not even come to terms with that. At that time, Brahma was finding that difficult. At that point, Krishna removed Maya and allowed Brahma to get a glimpse of that, experience of that. You will see that in the beginning, in the third canto. That when Krishna removed that Maya from him, he was able to realize a lot of things which he didn't know before. He understood that ignorance has been taken away from him. That's what he's saying here. Iti reshe atarke nijamahimani sopramidige paratrajadhodan nirasanamukha brahma kamitau anishebi drashtam kimidamidiva mukhyati sati chachadayo jnatva sabadi paramajo paramoja aja javanigam anishebi drashtam. I couldn't see that before with my understanding. I couldn't see that. Seeing means not, I couldn't experience that. But what did he do? Param sabadi paramo ja javanigam. Because of the presence of Maya in front of me. When that curtain of Maya was removed, chachada jojnyatva sabadi paramo ja javanigam. Then Krishna removed that Maya from front of me and made me realize who he is. Made me realize who he is. So, you can see the verses 55 and 57. All this is working through Brahma's mind while he is glorifying. When he is glorifying Krishna, these verses have already had its substantial effect in Brahma. And Brahma is acknowledging all that. In every chapter, Shuka Brahma Rishi, you will see this. This is the way when, when you can look at this. Verse 54. 13th chapter. Before you go into the 14th chapter, look at the 13th chapter ending, how it ends. 54th verse saying that Satya Jnana Anandanandam Ananda Matra Igara Samurtaya Asprishta Bhuni Mahalmam Abhi Upanishad Drisham. Satya Jnana Anandanandam Matra Igara Samurtaya Asprishta Bhuni Mahalmam Abhi Upanishad Drisham. He says there, all three, past, present and the future, it remained as Chitsarubam in its pure spiritual form and unaffected by time and space. It cannot be interrupted and always remaining in that blissful state, totally free from the three modes of material nature. And even those who have got the highest vision of knowledge of the self inside, even they see this in the most, difficult way they perceive this. And they are unable to understand the glory of this form, what is present in form, front of me. This is at the end of the 13th chapter, these verses. So, what you have to remember, that when Brahma, before he starts glorification, Shuka Brahma Rishi has spoken certain verses there from the Upanishads to make us aware that what is the state of consciousness of Brahma when he is saying these prayers. It is with this background you should study Brahmastuti. These are all the Upanishads verses, taken from the Upanishads. And that's been put there, and Brahma is repeating the Upanishads realization there. Keeping those Upanishads realizations, Brahma is going to talk about his experience of Krishna at that time. All those verses, Satyajnanam Anandam Anandamatraiga Rasamurtaya Asprashtam Bhuri Mahalma Abhi Upanishad Drisham. Evam sagrad dadarshaja parabrahmatmano ghilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sajaracharam tatodi krutubodhvrutya smrdai ekadashendriya tad dhatmana buddhajastushnim purvaddevyandiva putrika. Then again he says, when Brahma saw Krishna, he stood there, withdrew all his senses and simply looked at that form, and all his senses were stunned, completely stunned. And like Like a statue, he stood there. Like a statue, he stood there. Iti reshe atarke nijamahimani sopradimi pramitike paryatra jadodhyan nirasana mukha brahma kamitau anishe vidrashtam kimidamidi vamukhyati sati chachada jojnatva sabadi paramoja javanigam. So, whenever, whatever Brahma has spoken there is all about referring to the what is he seeing now. It's not that he just saw Krishna standing there like a cowherd boy. No, he, while seeing Krishna, what is he seeing? What is he seeing? That is what he is explaining there. That, chachada jojnatva sabadi paramoja javanigam. That, when Maya is covering, Javanigam, when Maya is covering, of Brahman, when Maya is covering Brahman, when Maya is covering Brahman, Brahma is saying, I'm just seeing this form only now. Because Brahman has been covered, and I am only seeing this form. And all other things what I am seeing has disappeared from my vision. That means to see that this form in front of me is cowherd boy Krishna. And in order to show me this form, I was dragged from the Brahmalokam, Satyalokam, all the way here. I was brought here simply to show me this form. Is that not what Krishna has done? He is asking. Is that not what Krishna has done? I was sitting there in Brahmalokam. Why did he bring me here to show me this form? In order to show this form to me, he has dragged me from there. So, if you look into the 14th chapter, later on, in the very end of that, you will see one verse, etat zuhadbir, that is the last but one verse in the 14th chapter, 60. Etat zuhadbischaridam murare akardanam shadvala jemanam cha vyakteedaradrubamajorvabhishtavam shrunvan shrunan nedinarokhilarthan. That akardhanam, akardhanam shadvalam jemanam cha, shadvala jemanam cha. Why was Akhasura's given liberation? Because this Akhasura story and this Brahmastuti has a connection. You know, if you have read Bhagavatam. Why was Akhasura offered liberation? Why did Krishna come here and had taken the feast with all other cowherd boys? Why did he do that? All these things. The only thing I can say, Brahma says, was to bring me here. To bring me here. He did all these things. That my mistake I did, what the mistake I did was, Brahma says, I did not care what was going on here in Vrindavanam. I sat there in Brahmalokam, completely not interested in the Krishna's pastimes. And sitting in Brahmalokam, I was chanting the Vedam there. I was reciting the Vedam there. From there, in the middle of all that, I was attracted and pulled and brought me here in this form. And that person, that attraction, what has happened to me, That was done by Brahman itself. Brahman has done that, and the name of that Brahman is Krishna. Name of that Brahman is Krishna. How did Brahma understand that? You will see in the 13th chapter if you look back again. Tatrodvahad 13, 61. Tatrodvahad pashubhavam shashishitva natyam Brahmadvayam paramananda makhada bhodam Valsan sakini vapura parido vichinvan Ekam sapani kabalam parameshte chashta Valsan sakini vapura parido vichinvan Ekam sapani kabalam parameshte chashta. The friends were there, Krishna's friends were there. All the cowherd boys, they were not there. The calves, they were all gone missing. And in that way, Krishna was there and he had a half-eaten food in the hand. And Krishna is wandering around everywhere, calling his friends and the name of the cows and the friends, different names. Sridhama, Subala, Stoka Krishna. And Krishna is calling all of them and moving around in that way. When Brahma says that, he is saying that this is some clarity I got now. You have to remember that Brahma fell into the illusion, isn't it? That is why he felt like approaching Krishna and trying to test Krishna in Vrindavanam. So when Brahma was trying to do that, it has means Maya has affected Brahma as well. Maya has affected him. That is what has happened. So now he is seeing, after this experience, he is saying, when you get the proper vision inside, that means the ignorance goes away, ajnanam goes away from inside. When knowledge comes inside, you get a proper vision of the reality, proper vision of the reality. So this experience, what is spoken here, in Lord Brahma's brain or intelligence, you can say, intelligence is getting the clarity of the reality, of the clarity of the reality, what the reality is. Up to that time, illusion was controlling him. Maya was controlling him. Similarly, in us also, when that illusion goes away, we will see the things in the proper way. At the moment, we don't see the things proper way. We are seeing Namarupam, Ragadvesham, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam. This is our vision at the moment. When Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam goes away, Ragadvesham goes away, Namarupam goes away, and really, fully understand that what is present here is Krishna. What is present here is Krishna. And from the beginning of that, when that realization comes in Brahma's inside, when realization comes inside, that is when these statements are coming from Brahma. Brahma is saying all these things. From the beginning of the creation, what have I been thinking about this? Brahma is saying here. So many billions and billions of living entities are coming here, and none of them has got the capacity on their own to think about this, where they have come from, where they have come from. Nor do they have the understanding that they belong to that Supreme Person, Supreme Truth. Nor do they have the capacity to receive that mercy from Krishna. And unable to go back to that source where they came from, they are thinking that they are not qualified to go there, to go back to Krishna. And some of them try to take to spiritual life. Some of them, very few of them, take to spiritual life, and they endeavor in that direction to some extent. Brahma is saying, some of them out of the billions of living entities in this world, very, very few come to know that they have to, whom they belong, where do they belong to. And they also take the interest to go into the spiritual life and endeavor in that direction to some extent, not to a large extent, to some extent. And they endeavor to some extent, and rarely they get that success. Rarely get that success. And so I create Brahma, because he is responsible for the creation. He's saying, I have created all these things, and I realize that in none of that different forms they are able to take to spiritual life seriously. They don't have the capacity. Except in the human form, there is some capacity to think about these things, about the goal, about the source, about the returning back. And ultimately, this human body I have created. You will see this in the Ekadasha Skandham. Srishtva purani vividhana jaya alpa shaktya prachan sarin sarva pashun khagadam shamalsyan taisteya dushta kradaya purusham vidhaya brahma avaloka dishanam udamava devaha. A famous verse in the Bhagavatam, that Brahma acknowledging that all these different forms I have created, it didn't make me feel that they are competent or capable of inquiring about the truth. In those bodies, it is difficult to inquire about the truth. They live here because they got a gross body. They live in that body. And whatever the body demands, they do that. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And eventually, the body goes, they change into another body. This cycle continues here. So, srishtva purani vividhani ajaya alpa shaktya prushan sarin, all the different living beings, what has come into creation, prushan sarin sarva pashun khagadam shamalsyan. So after all done creation, Brahma didn't feel happy, because there is nobody, no living entity in this body, in these different bodies, is capable of inquiring about the reality, about the truth. Taisai atushta hridaya, unhappy because of this. Khagadam shamalsyan atushta hridaya. Purusham vidhaya brahmava logadishanam udamava deva. But when the human body was created, Brahma felt some satisfaction inside, because he thought, at least this body is capable of doing some inquiry. Even though it's capable of doing that, it doesn't do it. It doesn't inquire. So therefore, to help them, all the Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, they all came through these four different phases. It came out through them. And Brahma thought, let them utilize all these things. Which one? Puranas, Upanishads, Bhagavatam, and everything, all the Shastram, and let them inquire about the truth with all these things. Brahma thought like that. But what did he find? Even this human being, which is capable of doing something, even they are not interested. Even they are not interested. That's not what he found. What he found was, even they were not interested. They are not interested. So, they are busy with other things in this world. Busy with so many other things in this world. So, Brahma is saying to us that the very difficult situation, billions living entities, most of them does not have the capacity to do so. Those who are capable of doing that is this human species. But even that human species, they are unable to inquire about the source, who they are. That's what it is. Inquiry means inquiring who they are, where do they belong to, unable to receive the mercy of the truth. And even though Brahma created this human body and given all the facilities in the form of Vedam, Shastram, everything for them to utilize it, to develop spiritually, in spite of that, Brahma says, what I find is that they are unable to do it. They are unable to do it. And even though all the Shastram, Vedam, everything is there, and all other kind of instructions Brahma has given through Shastram, people don't seem to have any interest in doing that, in serving Krishna. No inquiry at all, he says. So still they turn their head away from Krishna. Turn their head away from Krishna and go after other enjoyment in this world. Loka Vishayaha. Loka Vishayaha means those other less important things, insignificant issues of this world, they are absorbed in that. So you will see that in the third canto, when Brahma says that there itself he mentioned this. Though if you look in the third canto, seventeenth verse, in Brahma's prayers he has said this before. Brahma has spoken about this before, in his prayers before. Brahmastuti, that is, 9th chapter, 3.9.17, where he says this, Loko vigarma nirada kushale pramatta karmanyayam tududide bhavadarchane sve yastavadasya balavaniha jividasham sadhyachinatya nimishaya namostu dasmaihi. When we read Brahmastuti, to understand Brahmastuti properly, you have to understand Brahma's heart, Brahma's mind. From where is all this coming? It's not that he just stood there, thought about some verses and repeated and gone back. There is a lot of thoughts behind it. If Brahma is saying all these things here, you have to know what is Brahma's feeling about all of us. Is it not? About the creation, what he is seeing. He has created all these things, it's come through him. But he is saying here, Loko vigarma nirada kushala pramatha. Karmanyayam to dudide bhavadarchane sve. Bhavadarchane sve. Even though all facilities have been provided to us and clearly told what is not allowed to do here, what one should not do here, we are only interested in those things, in doing that. And Krishna has given us what is dharmam. Namo dharmaya mahade, nama krishnaya vedase, dvadasya skandam. Dharmam spoken by Krishna. Dharma vastu sakshal bhagaval pranidam. Krishna has spoken what is dharmam. But dharma means what's the way one should conduct oneself in this world. All these things have been spoken. But there is no interest in all that. Human species is talking about. Lokopi karma niradaha kushala pramatta kushale pramatta. Intoxicated with their own desires, and when it is happening like that, and when we are like that in that way, so long as it is like that, one day what does Krishna do? In the form of time he comes and suddenly cuts off everything from us. Jividasha beliyasi. That our desire to live in this world is there in us, but he cuts it and takes us away from here. To that Supreme Person, I pay my obeisances. That's what he said in that words. Loko vi karma nirada, loko vi karma nirada kushale pramatta, karmanyayam to dudide bhavad archane sve, yastavadasya balavaniha jividasham sadhya, chinatya nimishaya, namostu tasmai. This is Brahma's prayers in the third canto. Brahmastuti, famous Brahmastuti. That's the first Brahmastuti in the Bhagavatam. There are so many Brahmastutis in the Bhagavatam. This one, generally when we say Brahmastuti in the Bhagavatam, means this one. This 10th canto, 14th chapter. But there are so many other Brahmastuti. But one thing you will notice, all other Brahmastutis are addressing Brahmam. All other Brahma, no mention of any form or any referenced name or form or any other thing. It is only this 14th chapter of the 10th canto where Brahma saying that Brahmam whom I have glorified all the way, is this person who is standing in front of me. Krishna, referring to Krishna. So here you can see what he is saying. So anyway, other Brahmastudis one should study to understand Brahma's heart. If you study other Brahmastudis, this Brahmastudi, later on when Krishna leaves the planet, Brahma pays obeisance, comes back with all other devadas and pays their respects to Krishna. Similarly, you will see in other places, several places, Brahma coming to offer respects to Krishna in different times. So every avataram or every appearance, for every appearance Brahma comes. In every appearance Brahma comes. Lord Vamana came, Brahma came, glorified Vamana Murti. When everywhere you will find the glorification is based on the understanding of Brahma, as Brahma. When Narasimham came, Brahma came, glorified Narasimham. Narasimham, Vamanam. And similarly, Shri Ramavataram also, but that's not mentioned in the Bhagavadam because Ramayanam deliberately summarized to such an extent in the Bhagavadam, therefore Brahmastuti of Sri Ramachandra doesn't come up here, unlike in the Vatmiki Ramayana. So, Brahma has glorified in all incarnations. And here also Brahma is glorifying, but saying this, that Jiva's situation is like this. It is going on like this. Why is that? It's not feeling any attraction for self-realization. Any attraction for knowing who he is, any attraction for Krishna, why does that not happen? Only very, very few among all these billions of living entities has some interest in this, has some interest in this, and very few of them has the intelligence to understand Vedam, Shastram, Puranam, and take some interest in all those things. And some of them, because they take interest to the Shastram, they turn into yoga processes, different yoga processes. And other Jivas, all other Jivas, they don't show any interest more than that. In this way, so because they are like that, what's happening? Due to that, they engage in activities in this world. Loke vikarma nirada. In vikarmam, they engage. Kushala pramata. They get experts in those karmam. And therefore what happens is, due to that activity, they start seeing something as pious, something as sinful. Something is good, something is bad. Something is right, something is wrong. In this way, duality comes in. All of us. All of us. And this is how Brahma was thinking about this all this time. He said, this is what was happening. Now Brahma saying, I understand another thing now, another dimension to it. Till now, all other living entities, including me, he says, were thinking like this, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, and this is pious activity, this is sinful activity. But because of these things, what happened to me? When Krishna was performing all these times in Vrindavanam, I never felt like coming here to Vrajabhumi. I didn't feel the necessity to come here. I sat there in the Satyalokam, in my place, in my office, I was sitting there. And interesting thing is that this whole appearance of Krishna's appearance here, who had the knowledge of that first? Brahma had. Is it not? When all the devadas went to pray to Mahavishnu, the reply from Golokam came that Krishna is going to come. So the first person who received the information was Brahma. And that Brahma, because of his invitation, that Krishna has come. And he went and sat there in the Satyalokam. He started realizing the mistake he has done. You have invited somebody home, to home, and you went somewhere else telling him to come. How would he feel? It's the same thing. Brahma invited Krishna to come here. seeing the situation here. Then he goes and sits there in Satyalokam, didn't bother to come here and to spend time with Krishna, not knowing who he is. So the first person who got information that he is going to appear here is Brahma, that Krishna is going to come, isn't it? So, in all other incarnations also, Brahma came first and glorified. In Narasimhavataram, in Vamanavataram, and so many avatarams you will see this. Brahma sat there in Satyalokam, and now I realize, Brahma says, something has dragged me here, to come here. That force which has dragged me here. And I started, so while sitting in Brahmalokam, I have started hearing some unusual sound in Brahmalokam from here. And the holy name of Krishna, the friends, and when Ahasura was killed, all that activities, everything I heard there, and I was dragged here. Something dragged me to bring me here. Brahma didn't come on his own. When Akasura was killed, and the sound of the demigods, all others who have beat the drums, their singing and dancing and everything, the sound of that reached Brahmalokam. And it was that time Brahma thought that, what is going on? Let me find out. Who is this? What is going on in this world? And that means Brahma feels that he was actually forced to come by Krishna. So normally Brahma says that when Krishna calls someone, only they can hear that call back, can respond to that. Only when he gets called. So similarly, whoever Krishna gives the attraction from inside, they alone will be able to chant the holy name, Krishna's holy name. Only they will be able to chant. Unless Krishna is from inside giving that inspiration to chant the holy name, one will not be able to chant the holy name. So individually on their own, they will not be able to do so. For example, Akasura was killed. Akam means sinful reaction, pavam, isn't it? Here, there is no sinful reaction or anything. For example, suppose you don't chant the holy name, it's not a sinful activity. If you don't chant the holy name, there's no sinful reaction to that if you didn't chant the holy name. Similarly, if you are not serving Krishna, there is no sinful reaction from that. But similarly, if you don't pay your obeisances to Krishna, there is no sinful reaction from that. So, but because any time if somebody is able to do that, it's purely because from inside the Antaryami has prompted him to do so. Normally, if you are not chanting the holy name, it's not a sinful reaction. There is no sinful reaction from that. If you're not paying obeisances, there is no sinful reaction from that. If you're not serving Krishna, there is no sinful reaction from that. You will live here like anybody else. Nothing is going to happen. But if somebody is able to do that, one has to understand that there is somebody who is prompting him from within to do that, to chant the holy name, to serve Krishna, or to pay your obeisances to Krishna. All these things is happening only because from inside Krishna is prompting him to do that. Brahma is saying this. Because any time when we are able to, at a particular time, to do that, or to think in that way to do so, that is Krishna. And Krishna will call from that person to come forward. So, and at that time, that person will respond to that by doing it. The person will respond to that, saying to Krishna, I am here, I am doing what I have been told to do. And that's all what we are doing in this world. we are doing in this world. In reality, what we find is, when Krishna is calling us, we are answering back through our spiritual activities, whatever we are doing. And that's all the world knows. That's all the world knows. But sometimes, if Krishna is not calling us back, Krishna is not calling us back, if you are not feeling responding to that, if you don't feel like responding to that, here in this, there is no right or wrong, there is no sinful activity or pious activity, there is no religious or irreligious, nothing in there. Here what happens is, what Krishna decides, that happens here. What that happens here. So, different jivas in this world, they, all of them, gets attracted to Krishna by some way, by one way or the other, and to that tattvam, Krishna tattvam it is called. How can one say that it doesn't have a name, it doesn't have a form? So, is that not Krishna? Brahma is asking that question. Try to understand, if you want to understand Bhagavatam, you have to understand Sukha Brahma Rishi's mind. If you want to understand Brahmastuti, you have to know Brahma's mind. Same thing, if you want to understand Gopis, you have to know Gopi's heart. If you want to understand Ambarisha, you have to understand Ambarisha's heart. We can't just read the verses and think this is it, nothing more. But where is this verses coming from? You have to look back into the soul. Similarly, while studying Brahmastuti, in the same way, that Brahma has a lot of things to say, what he is saying here. That he is saying here, looking at that form, Brahma is saying, he said, your name is Krishna. Krishna means Karshanam, one who pulls everybody. So, how to say that there is no form? How can we say that? When you look into the sky, you are only seeing a small part of the sky. Not even 1% of the whole sky, what is available, isn't it? So, he is saying that Brahman has a name, Brahman has a form. Krishna is a name, and this is that form, saying like that. Only when that Brahman or Krishna gives us that call from inside, only then we will chant the holy name. Otherwise we won't be able to chant the holy name. He says, who says Brahman has no activity? Because Brahman has got activity. That is that word. Which one? Pashupangajaya. See that? Naumidyate bravabushe tadidambaraya gunjavadam sabaribinjalasanmukhaya vanyasraje kabalavetra vishanavenu lakshmashriye mrudupade pashupangajaya. Pashupangajaya, that is Brahman's job. Brahman does that. Pashupangajaya. So this Gopal or Krishna who is standing here, this boy, he is Brahman, says here. When we say Gopala, Gopala means the cowherd boy who is standing here with a stick in the hand tending these cows here, and his position is that I will take all these cows and calves in the right direction and I will get them to the right destination. And if anybody, these calves, any one of them, go out of line or go away from the group, I will give them one beat and bring them into the line. Bring them into the line and they will be alright after that, he says. So, you can see in the third canto, when Brahma first prayers, in the ninth chapter, you can see there, Loko vikarma nirada kushale pramatta karmanyayam to dudhide bhavadarchane sve yastavadasya balavaniha jividasham sadhya chinatya nimishaya namostu tasmai sadhya chinatya nimishaya namostu tasmai animishaya. That Krishna's eyes are open all the time. There is not a second when his eyes are closed. All the time he is aware of everything, what is going on in the creation. Every living entity, what they are doing and what is happening here is known to him. Sadhya Chanatya Nimishaya, he says, then Animishaya, Animishaya means eyes are never closed and he is always observing everything and he will never allow us to go in the wrong direction. If we go in the wrong direction, he will give you something and bring you back into the right direction. Bring you in the right direction. So, therefore, Pashuvangajaya, Pashuvangajaya. Why is that Pashuvangajaya? Our brain, our intelligence is Pashubuddhi. Isn't it? Like the animals we are. We are like animals. I know, why do we say like that? Uddhava said this about us. Why Krishna saying? Uddhava said this. Uddhava says that these people, he says, all they are interested is something to enjoy here. If I get an opportunity to enjoy something here, they'll go after that. They will never inquire about the reality, what they are. So, that is Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi is that eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and just be satisfied with that existence in this form, whatever it may be. So, therefore, like Krishna is tending the cows, he is sitting inside us as Antaryami and tending this person also, this Pashu also. That is a comparison. When, that is why that verse is important. Naumidya Debrava Pushe Tadidambaraya Gunjavadamsa Paribinja Lesan Mukhaya Vanyasraje Kabala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshmashriye Mrudupade Pashuvangajaya. That exactly like animals when they, the cows and calves, when they go away in directions, Krishna with the stick drive the cows or calves in the right direction. Similarly, Krishna is sitting inside a Sandaryami of each one of these Pashus in this world, guiding us in the right direction, which way to go. Which way to go. Who else is doing that? Who is making the decisions inside us every moment? We think we make it. We have no control even on the thoughts that comes to our mind. Is it not? We are. If you sit and think about yourself, how the thoughts are coming, we haven't got a clue how it's coming, where it's coming, why those thoughts have come, something else didn't come. Sometimes in the mood of goodness, sometimes in passion, sometimes in ignorance. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Even there we have no freedom, is it not? But when things are going wrong, from inside somebody is guiding us to go in the right direction. And if we are not listening, he will give you something and turn you in the right direction. That is what it is saying here. Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade Pashubangajaya. Mrudupade Pashubangajaya. So, Brahma is saying here, all this is, these pastimes, Gopala Leela, is not your Leela, tending all these cows, living entities in this world. Is that not your Leela? Brahma is saying. So, till now I have thought, he says, Brahman has no name, no form, and no pastimes either. I thought Brahman has no name, Brahman has no form, and Brahman has no pastimes either. But it is not like that. Brahma is saying here now. It is not like that. This is Brahma's form. This person who is standing here is Brahman. And the name of this Brahman is Krishna. And that Krishna is a cowherd boy, Gopala. I'm confirmed, I'm clear on that now, says Brahma. Vamshi vibhushita karanava niradavan pidambara bharvar bimbabalatha phaladaroshtal purnendu sundaramukhal aravinda netral krishnal param kimavidattvamaham na jane. Madhusudana Saraswati. Krishalparam kimavidattvam aham na jane. I do not know any other tattvam beyond Krishna. So, like Lord Brahma says, Madhusudana Saraswati also says the same thing. Purna Indu Sundaramukhal Aravinda Netral Krishnal Param Kimabhi Tattvam Aham Najane. Krishna is a Tattvam. That is what we have to understand. Krishna is a Tattvam. What is that Krishna Tattvam? That is what we are studying in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? We will see there, janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tattvada, that Krishna tattvam. Tat tattva deham vinar janma neti mamedi sorjana. So many places you will find Krishna tattvam spoken. What is Krishna tattvam? That is what he is saying here. Then, remember this, that this Gopala or Krishna who is standing right here in front of me, there is no other tattvam beyond than this. It finishes here. And then Brahma is saying that I didn't know about this so far. I didn't know about that. Because you can see this in the Prahlada Stuti also. Prahlada also says the same thing, isn't it? Prahlada saying that, that will I be able to glorify Krishna? You remember? If you look at Prahlada Stuti in the Bhagavatam, the first verse itself is, Prahlada is saying that, will I be able to Brahmadaya suraganaminayo dhasiddha satvayadhanamadayo vajasam pravahe naradidam purugunayadhuna bibipro kim toshtumarphadi same hari rugrajade. So before glorifying Narasimham, Prahlada is saying that Lord Brahma, the great demigods and the great rishis, siddhas, all of them, they tried to glorify, they could not pacify Narasimham. Aradidam purugunai adhunadi pipru kim toshtumarphadi same hari rugrajade. How can I do it? What possibility do I have? Who am I compared to all those great personalities? If they couldn't pacify Narasimham, how can I pacify Narasimham? Says Prahlada there, isn't it? In the same way Prahlada felt, the same thing Brahma is feeling here now. How can I glorify Krishna? He is saying like that. So Brahma is thinking himself, he is saying himself that like Prahlada felt like that, how come I didn't feel like coming here and paying my obeisances to Krishna till now? He is regretting for that. What happened? I sat there I invited Krishna to come, along with all the other devadas, I went and glorified Vishnu. Krishna decided to come here. And he informed me that he is coming. And when he came there, I sat there in Satyalokam comfortably, busy with my office and office work. So he is thinking, how come I never felt like coming here and offering my respects to Krishna? He said, not a big offense I have done. See how that guilt affecting feeling inside. In Brahma's heart, he's feeling that guilt. So the reason then Brahma is saying this has happened only now, because from only when Krishna has given me that mercy or blessing, only then this has happened to me. I could come here. Otherwise I couldn't come. He's saying there. That is Brahma's realization. First realization. Exactly like the way Prahlada said. Prahlada says all these great people are there. They could not pacify Narasimham. But when he prompted me to speak from Prahlada Stuti has come out like that. So who gave that strength to speak that Stuti glorifications? Narasimham gave that. In the similar way, Brahma is also acknowledging here, all these days the mistake I did was I sat there in the Satyalogam without caring for what was going on here. But right now I felt coming here, I offer my respects to Krishna. Because he has prompted me from within. He allowed me that to happen. Like the way Prahlada says, Narasimham allowed me to glorify him. Therefore it happened. Similarly, Brahma is saying, Krishna has allowed me to do so, so therefore it has happened. So, that is why he says, Asya videva vapusho, the second verse.
Madanugrahasya svechamayasya nadubhutamayasya gobil neshemahitu vasidam manasandarena sakshaltavaiva kimudalpasukhanubhude Asya videva vapusho madanugrahasya svechamayasya nadubhutamayasya gobi neshemahitu vasidam manasandarena sakshaltavaiva kimu alma sukha anubhuti.
In order that, to show that karunyam or mercy formed towards me, Krishna gave me that alma sukha anubhuti. Alma sukha anubhuti means experience of the self, of realization of the self. And that experience is Krishna. When we experience Krishna within the heart or realize the self inside, that experience, what we call it as the Satta Chitta Anandam, that experience itself is Krishna. Atma Sukhanubhuti. That vastu inside, who is giving us that experience, has taken a form now and standing outside like this, in this form. Anything can take a form, isn't it? Any experience can take a form. That is what, how Vedic literature talks about that. So, Satya Chitta Anandam, when he takes that form, that is Krishna. Satya Chitta Anandam, when he takes a form, that is Krishna. Anything can, because Stulam Sushmam. Sushmam can become Stulam. Stulam can become Sushmam. So, this Stula Sushmam is exist in every level. Every level. So, Krishna is saying here, Brahma is saying, that when that Sushma Satya Jnanam Anandam Brahmam, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahmam, when it has taken this form and standing in front of me and given me darshanam like this, in this way, I am able to think in that direction. I was able to think in that direction. Before this, I couldn't do it. Brahma says, he brought me from Satyalogam here, and in this form he came to me. At that time, I was able to realize this. This is that verse he's saying. Asya bideva vapusho madanugrahasya. It was done only to bless me, to give me. This is Krishna's blessing. That in a most subtle level, we cannot understand Krishna. In the most subtle form, we will never understand Krishna. So, out of His mercy for us, He accepts a form and comes and appears in front of us so that we can receive that mercy in some form. Because we are embodied, isn't it? Inside the body, when you are in the body, it is difficult. Everything has to come in the gross form. Subtle form, very difficult to understand anything. We are unable to think in a subtle level. We are unable to understand anything in the subtle level. So that's what Brahma is saying here also. Only when that Brahman has manifested in front of me in this form and pulled me all the way from Satyalogam to come here, I have started seeing things in a different way. Things in a different way. So only when Krishna's grace has come, Mad anugrahasya svechamayasya nadu bhudamayasya gobi. Any living entity will receive, when he receives that mercy from Krishna, only then this will happen. Only then this will happen. And that is why Brahma is saying here, it is only because of that mercy alone, I am able to glorify Krishna. I am able to glorify Krishna. Not due to my effort or my ability. Till now, I have been thinking, Brahmam, Brahmam, Nirgunam. Nirgunam means no modes of nature present there, and no form, and I've been trying to think about it a lot, but it was a struggle. I couldn't get anywhere by thinking about that Brahman. I couldn't get anywhere. And I have struggled very hard, but now it has become a lot easier for me because he has come in this form. So, Brahman takes a form for the sake of the devotee, knowing well our condition, that in our body, in this gross body, it is impossible for us to develop any relationship with the truth. And therefore, Krishna accepts different forms, accept him and comes in front of us in order to help the conditioned souls to opportunity to develop spiritually. And that is what in the next verse you will see. Jnane prayasam udabhasya namandameva jivandi sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartam sane sthidam shudhikadam tanivang manobhi ye prayesho jidajido pasidhe srilokyam. Jnane prayasam udabhasya namandameva jivandi sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam shudhikadam tanivang manobhi ye prayashojida jidopyasidai trilokyam. The impersonal form, Brahman, realization, is a difficult process. Krishna also says that, isn't it? Klesho adhigadarasyesham avyaktam asakta chetasam. That process of inquiry is a difficult process. So, devotees, what do they do? They do not go in that direction. Process is difficult. But instead, they try to understand the glories of Krishna through the different pastimes. And if we continue doing that, hearing about Krishna through the pastimes, sthane sthitam shudhigadam tanuvam manobi e prayesho ajida jidopyasidai trilokyam. Suppose you live in the situation wherever Krishna has put us in this world, and which is for Brahma, Krishna has put him in the Satyalokam, Brahma Lokam, for creation purposes, he lives there. And simply had I taken interest in Krishna's pastimes, then probably I would have known this before, Brahma says there. But I was in Brahmalokam, I was more busy in cultivating knowledge, through acquiring knowledge, and it was a struggle for me. Brahma said, it was a struggle for me. What we have to remember here is, realization of the self is not something you can get by effort. Effort will not give the realization of the self. It happens due to the grace. Krishna's grace it happens. By working hard, for example, like you say, you have to work for that, isn't it? But simply by working hard, you won't get it. In that way, you will never be able to get it. But it comes from the grace. So, therefore, he is saying, that is, because it is like that, knowledge is required, knowledge of the self is required. But that knowledge won't come simply by effort alone. It cannot happen unless there is Krishna's grace. That is why Krishna is repeatedly telling us, first take my shelter and then engage in your sadhana. Isn't it? My yasakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. Madashraya in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavadam also madavashraya, he is saying there in the 28th chapter, in the 11th canto. So, because it is like this, that it is not due to our effort, ahankaram will tell us like that. Ahankaram will always tell us that, oh, you have to work very hard in spiritual life. And that is not true. Because by so many people have done a lot, many, many yogis have endeavored very hard. They didn't make it. Krishna Uddhava says there, isn't it? Sudushchara mimam manye yogam yunjan madashraya. That verse you can see there. So, by effort alone, that realization won't come. Instead, by mercy, it can happen. And that is why in the next verse, immediately after saying about knowledge through realization through knowledge, Brahma is saying what happens.
Shreyashvim bhakti mudasya devi bho klishyandiye kevala bodhalabhaye teshamasau kleshalameva shishyade nanyadhyadastula tushavakhadhinam nanyadhyadastula tushavakhadhinam.
Just like when they bring the rice from the field, it has got the skin on that. And also there will be a lot of grains. Without any grain inside, it will be simply the skin along with that. But you keep on beating the husk, nothing will come from that, is it not? So, if you keep on beating that, in the sense that you keep on trying to develop spiritual knowledge. People do this all the time. They make this mistake. They try to develop spiritual knowledge. They get attracted by Upanishads, attracted by Brahma Sutram, Vedanta Sutram, and attracted by all the other the explanations, scientific explanations to the knowledge of the self. People are attracted by all that. And they go after that without developing bhakti in the heart. Without surrendering to Krishna, that is very heavily criticized by Brahma. Brahma is saying that will not work. That will not.
Shreyasrudim bhakti mudasya devi bho klishyandiye kevala bhodarabdhaye teshamaso kleshalameva shishyade nanyadhyadastu vila tushavakhadhinam.
Then, so kevala bhodam. Kevala bhodam means self-realization. If you keep on working hard for self-realization, that means for the knowledge of the self, self-realization in other words, without executing bhakti. Bhakti, when we say bhakti, bhakti is a precondition for everything, whether it is karma yogam, ashtanga yogam, jnana yogam, doesn't matter. Everywhere bhakti is required. That is why great personalities, even in their very elevated state, they continue executing bhakti. Because without that bhakti, that it is never complete. Sometimes they compare, when you are making, cooking vegetables, you have got all the vegetables, spices, everything. But if the salt is not there, the whole taste changes. Is it not? Bhakti is like that. Bhakti is an essential ingredient in spiritual life, in everything. So, so in that process, when one becomes conscious of the awareness, soham, eventually it can develop into aham. Actually, what is required is sometimes this awareness of aham, of ourselves, this has to go from inside. This has to grow from inside. So, practically, the ahangaram has to disappear. In the jnana margam, through ahangaram, you are approaching the aham bodham. Is it not? But if bhakti is not there, what will happen is, this ahangaram will predominate than the ahambodham. So in jnana margam or bhakti margam, this ahangaram can interfere in our sadhana. In our sadhana, it will interfere. So in order that the ahangaram don't take control of us and to experience that awareness inside of Krishna, ahambodham, bhakti is necessary. Because if this ahangaram takes over, particularly in sadhana process, you can see this. Say for example, people who are very determined in spiritual life, say they are chanting the holy name. They decided that they are going to chant a lot of rounds every day for a lot period of time. But if the ahangaram is not clear, ahangaram does not give way, and ahambodham will not develop. But ahangaram has a such a strong effect on everything what we do. So, And if ahankar, aham, 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 that comes up strongly, it is impossible to go beyond than that. You will see this in the Gajendra Stuti. Gajendra says this. If you look at the 8th canto, you will see this, that that Gajendra Stuti is also in the same way like Lord Brahma. Glorifying Brahmam, 8th canto, in the 3rd chapter. He says there,
Jiji Vishena Hamihamuyakim Andar Bahishchavudaye Bhayonya Ichami Kalena Nayase Viplavam Tasyatmeloga Varanasya Moksham.
You know what Gajendra was saying? Jijivishenaham ihamuyakim andarbahis chavrdaye bhayonya ichami kalenana yase viplavam tasyatma loga varanasya moksham. He's saying that I do not want to live in this body. Who's saying? Gajendra. Why? It's ignorance inside this body, it's ignorance outside this body. It's not. We are not much different. It's inside is ignorance. All, everything is ignorance inside. Outside is also ignorance. Andar bahischa avrdaye bhayonya. And the only thing is that ignorance doesn't die even under the influence of time. Body dies. Everything else dies. But that ignorance in me, it doesn't die even under the influence of time. And Gajendra says to Krishna, when he came in that form in front of him, he says to him that this body, I'm not asking you to protect this body, he says. But this ignorance in me, which is covering my knowledge, I would like that to be destroyed. This is how Gajendra prayed to Krishna. Ajnana tattvam, he said, Ichami kalemina kalenana yase viplavata syatma logam avaranasya moksham. Logavaranasya moksham. Loga avaranasya moksham. Freedom from this ignorance that is covering me. Because he says, this elephant's huge body he had. He was a very powerful elephant, wasn't he? Gajendra. And in that body, he was experiencing this. That we can see our own situation if we take. How much do we understand about ourselves? Shows the depth of ignorance in us, isn't it? We don't know this body. We don't know the mind. We don't know the intelligence. You cannot say that you know, because if you know, then you should be able to control it. But the fact that you can't control this body shows that you don't know the body. If a problem comes in the body, you try various things. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, you can't do anything about it, isn't it? So many diseases comes. What can you do? So how do you know that? How do you say you know this body? You don't know this body. We don't know this body. We don't know the mind ourselves. We know nothing about this whole thing, and therefore practically we can say there is total ignorance inside. And as far as the world and the rest of it is concerned, we don't know anything about it either, where this has come from. So inside ignorance, outside ignorance. Gajendra is saying to Krishna, what I want is freedom from this ignorance what I have in me, not this body. Body, what do you want to take it back, doesn't matter. That's not what I am looking for, Gajendra said. So, in the same way, it is says here also, that Gajendra is saying here, that the elephant's problem, you can see here, that the This elephant's body he is cursing. Who Gajendra? Ibhayoni, it is called. Ibhayoni, Ibha means elephant. Ibhayoni. That I have no desire to live in this world in this body. Why they say like that is, elephant has got two eyes, isn't it? Either side, small eyes, it has got. And with those eyes, it cannot know its own size. That's very funny, isn't it? That it's got two eyes, and it doesn't know how big it is. It cannot see its own size. And because it doesn't have a long throat, the head is directly fitted onto the gross body, directly fitted onto this body. Therefore, it cannot turn this way, that way, very much. It can only see what is in the front, what the eyes, how far it can see, that's all it can see. And it can see on the sides. But it cannot see its own size completely, its own body. Similar, not very much different from us. We can't see our backside. Okay, you will see in the mirror, but that's only a reflection of what it is. But you don't exactly see the backside, isn't it? So, suppose the elephant tries to look at its back. You know what the problem is? Problem is, because right behind this eyes, it has got these huge ears. As soon as its attention goes somewhere, the ears will come up like this, straight away. So it, even if it turns, the ear will block it, the vision. The ear blocks the vision of the body. Ear blocks the vision of the body. That is the problem. So, so this you can see. Any time when an elephant gives its attention to any object, immediately its ears will first pop out. It will come out very, very carefully. That's the way it responds to. Otherwise it will be moving like this. But as soon as its attention is to someone or to destroy something or whatever it may be, at that time these ears will become very sensitive to that and it will come out in action. So, so comparing that, Brahma's point is, that with these two eyes, trying to understand me, who I am, is a waste of time. You see? Waste of time. And when I try to understand, like in the elephant, everything is blocked by its ears, I get blocked by my own ignorance. When I try to look at something and try to find out what this truth is, it's completely covered because of the presence of my inside. So, even though you may have Shraddha, still that Shraddha is not enough to realize the truth. So, therefore, Gajendra says to Krishna that I don't want this life. I don't want this life anymore. Because this life hasn't helped me. I've been in this ignorant state for so long with this gross body and I've got into this situation. Now I'm not asking for rescuing from this situation. Rather, what I'm asking is that give me that knowledge by which I will know who I am. Gajendra's prayers. Gajendra is praying this in this way. So similarly, we are trying to realize the truth. Knowledge of the self, kevala bhotam. That is what the word used. Klishyandiye kevala bhota labdhaye. I am trying for that, but it is not working. Why? The same ignorance like Gajendra has spoken. It's coming and putting the cover. Is not allowing me to realize the real identity, who I am. I'm not unable to know that, isn't it? But it is not working, he's saying. Brahma is saying, it doesn't work. So, practically, Brahma is teaching us that in the body what you have got, with the eyes what you have got, And with all your ignorance inside and outside, if you are keep on trying, thinking that in human form it is possible, which is possible, but the process to do that is not directly endeavoring oneself. Instead, try through the process of bhakti. That is the message there. That that Shreyashrutim Bhakti Mudasya Devibho Klishyandiye Kevala Bodhalabdhaye Teshamasau Kleshalameva Shishyadhe Nanyadhyada Stulatushavakadhinam. So therefore there is no benefit from that. Instead, completely dependent on your grace, and if you endeavor in that direction, it is not wrong. It is not wrong. Because by Krishna's grace, if you get it, you can think in that way. If by Krishna's mercy you are able to get that realization, that is allowed. But by your own effort you are going to get it, you are never going to get it. If you think you are going to get it by your effort, that is why in bhakti it is always like this. Bhakti is not a lot of activities. Bhakti is this surrender. Sharanagati and surrender is bhakti. And if there is surrender and sharanagati inside, automatically when that grace comes, all this knowledge what we think we are trying to develop and cultivate will in a natural way comes to us through grace. It will come to him. So that is what he is reminding us. So therefore he is saying there that Pureha Bhoman Bhavobi Yoginam Todarpideha Nijagarmalabdhaya Vibuddhya Bhakteiva Kathobani Daya Prabedire Anja Chudate Gadim Param Pureha Bhoman Bhavobi Yogina Todarpideha Nijagarmalabdhaya Vibuddhya Bhakteiva Kathobani Daya Prabedire Anja Chudate Gadim Param. In this earthly planet, only this has happened. What is that? In other planets, it is difficult to realize this truth. Realize this truth. Because Brahma is saying, higher planets, the problem is there is too much happiness there. And therefore, it is very difficult to develop spiritually, to think in the right direction. When there is a lot of happiness in life, what will happen? That desire will never be strong inside. In the lower planets, the problem is the misery is so much that it is difficult to develop into spiritual life. That is why it says, in the earthly planet, it is possible that this can happen. And many people who have lived in this earthly planet, what they have done, they accepted this principle that realization is only possible by Krishna's grace. And knowing this, what they have done, whichever position Krishna has put them in this world, they have accepted that position without complaining anything about it. And they continue doing that karma, what has come to them through prarabdham. And whatever karma they executed, they thought that let this please Krishna, what is coming through this body. And through that, that is Bhagavata Dharma. And in execution in that way, the bhakti that has developed inside their heart, through that they have known what is to be known. And again they save their time and energy to hear about Krishna. And completely remembering about Krishna in that way, they have ultimately came back to you, says Brahma. Ultimately they have come back to you. And that is the way to, because Srimad Bhagavatam will talk about Bhagavata Dharmam. And that Bhagavata Dharmam, through Brahma, it is spoken here. It is spoken here. That means first thing is that a devotee has to accept this, that it is Krishna's desire that it is things are happening in this particular way. And one has to able to live with that situation. There is nothing we can do about this. That is surrender inside. Surrender. So, only if that attitude is there, that surrender is there, something can happen in us. Something will happen in us. So, the first thing is, that is what he is saying here. Pureha bhuman bhavobi yoginam tvadarpideha nija karma labdhaya. Nija karma labdhaya. The reason why we are in a particular situation in this world is due to our karma in the past. Accept that first. Nija karma labdhaya. What is that? Tvadarpideha. Knowing this, offer everything to Krishna. First thing is to surrender and offer to Krishna everything what you have got. Pureha bhuman bhavobi yoginam. Many yogis. When they say yogi here, it refers to jnanis, devotees, everybody. All those who are executing any yoga system. All they are covered in that. Bahobi yoginam tadarpi deha nija karma labdhaya. Whatever that has come through them in the form of karmam, and that what karmam has brought, whatever that has brought back from that, knowing very well that it is Krishna who has prompted from within to act in a particular way, and the particular karmam that has flown through them, realizing that and accepting that is surrender. That is the first surrender. First step in the surrender. So those who have done that, and at that time what is happening? Vibhudhya bhakteiva kathovanidaya prabhedirenjochita te gedim param. They have lived their life in this world in that way, passed their life through this world in that way, and eventually they developed bhakti in the heart because of the surrender inside and living in that way, and with that bhakti they escape from here. That is that first five verses. Then we'll have a little break and then continue after that. Chedo darpanam arjanam vomahadavagni narvapanam shreyakaido chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam Uramradaswadhanam Padma Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangeetanam Namagari Bhuda Nija Sarva Shakti Pidani Vidasmarane Vekala Tadrishi Pabhagavan Mamapi Rudaibhami Drishamiha Janina Nuraga Anarali Jani Jena Pisuhishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Dhanam Janam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadisha Kamayim Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavada Bhaktirahe Dugitvai Ainandatanyo Jakingaram Ushameen Havambudau Krupayatava Pada Pangajastita Duli Sadrisham Vichindaya Nayanam Galadashudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagair Nijidam Kada Tavam Mangrahane Bhavishyadi Yugayidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyoduva Yathatadava Vidadhakulam Pato Alpranamathastu naivanaparam Pureha bhuman bhavo biyogina Tadarpideha nijagarma labdhaya Vibuddhya bhakte eva katho panitaya Prabedi renjo chudake gadimparam. Some people, Brahma is saying, some people, they have tried various yoga sadhana, various yoga processes, and still they did not get to where they wanted to be of the knowledge of the self-realization. Didn't happen to them. What they did at the end, they followed the process of Bhagavata Dharmam. That means that they have accepted, Krishna has put me in this situation. That is a first symptom of surrender. To accept that, Krishna has given me this body in this particular conditions. I will live here the way it is. And whatever karmam is flowing through this body, let it flow through. Not giving any more importance to this any more than that. And then in that way, by living that way, and save their time in engaging in vibuddha bhakteiva kathovanidaya prabedire anje chudate gadim param. and continuously absorbed in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Dharmam, Shravanam, Leela Shravanam. And in that way, they elevated themselves. They elevated, it happened to them in that way. And they achieved the goal without too much struggle, without a lot of struggle in that way. Bhagavata Dharmam is an easier process compared to process of knowledge acquiring other way. That is what he is saying there. So, but in doing that, the important thing is that first we have to accept that everything is happening according to Krishna's plan. Even that acceptance has not happened to us, is it not? So, and able to accept anything, good or bad, what happens in life, able, this is how Krishna wants it, I have no complaints. Krishna is controlling, running everything. Why should I be feeling, why should it be the way I want that to happen in that way? That is ahankaram. If I insist that something has to happen according to my plan, then that means ahankaram is present in that. But if Krishna wants it to happen in this particular way, that is sharanagati, that is surrender. So that is the important principle in Bhagavata Dharma. To accept that anything that's happening in life is according to Krishna's plan, and able to, and actually this is a difficult thing also sometimes to understand. Because in Bhagavatam, even when you read through several times in Pudanamoksham and many other stories, this issue will come up again and again. Krishna says he wants to change us all. He wants to change our conditions, right? And but we are not agreeing with it. We don't agree with it. We say to Krishna, we are saying to Krishna, let this happen in this way. I want this to happen. Once that thought comes in, that means I'm not accepting Krishna's words, isn't it? So, so my desire and my determination and my destination, all these things has to go from inside. That is the proof of surrender. My desire, my determination, my decisions or whatever, and my destination where I want to go, this is all coming from ajnanam. It has no meaning more than that. That must have to, that has to be able to forget all those things. And many, many yogis in this planet, they reached Krishna in this way, by forgetting, giving up their individual identity, what they want. And that's what he's saying there. Vibuddha bhakteiva katobhanitaya te prabedire enjochita te gadim param. That gadi, that direction towards you, they got there. And therefore, that bhakti that you have, that they have cultivated here, that is what is necessary, Brahma says. That is what is necessary. But why is that such a bhakti has not developed in my heart? Reason for that is, I am still, that ahankaram is not going. Ahankaram is not going away. I am still thinking I am Lord Brahma. And I am the person who creates all these living entities. I am Almabhu. I am the first person to realize the truth. And I am the person who gives the results to everyone according to their activities in this world. And in this way, I identify myself with a falsely. Therefore, this problem. That ahankaram is operating in me, Brahma is saying. And therefore, I felt this problem. And that is the reason I couldn't do this before. Brahma is saying this, so imagine. Brahma is saying this, even though Bhagavata Dharma, when you hear that, it looks very simple, isn't it? In explaining that, it is simple. But when you have to put that into life, when you have to accept everything is Krishna's plan, everything is happening according to Krishna's desire, I have no complaints at any time. and in that way able to surrender Sharanagati, that's also very, very difficult. Very, very difficult, isn't it? So because even Brahma is thinking, I am Brahma, just like every one of us thinking who we are, similarly Brahma is also thinking who he is. And as long as that thought is there, aham karta, aham bhokta, and along with that all other namarupam, everything, so that is why I couldn't do it. Brahma is admitting that because of this. That thought has not left me and therefore I have a problem. Therefore, Brahma is openly admitting that problem. And saying this, Brahma, if you look in the 11th verse, you will see how Brahma puts that.
Kvaham tamo mahadahanga jaragni varbur samveshtidanda gadasatta vijastikaya ke drubbida viganidanda pranacharyam vadhadharoma vivarasajate mahitvam. Kvaham tamo mahadahasca aham kha jaragni varbhu samveshtidanda gadasatta vijastikaya ke drubbida viganidanda pranacharyam vadhadharoma vivarasajate mahitvam.
That Brahmandam or Brahma's world, Brahmandam is universe, isn't it? Lord Brahma is the top person in this particular universe. And normally we say there is 14 planetary systems here. 14 planetary systems. So, and I am responsible for this. He feels that way. Like we all feel in our own way. We are responsible for this, we are responsible for that. Brahma is also feeling. You can't blame him for that, can you? If we are feeling sitting in a one bedroom flat, I'm responsible for this flat. Similarly, Brahma is feeling responsibility for the whole Brahmandam. Would you blame him for that? He's saying, he's seeing it like that, like the way we are seeing. So you can't blame him for that. He thinks that I have to make sure that everything is okay in this Brahmandam. He's thinking like that, like we think everything should be very well organized in our flat or apartment or whatever it is. In the same way. So he's saying that where am I? Because what Brahma saw was there, that this one Brahmandam, like this, there are billions and billions of Brahmandam like this. How did he see that? Because when he saw Krishna in Vrindavanam, he had four heads. He was paying his obeisances. And then we turned up and looked. There were a 16-headed Brahma, 8-headed Brahma, 12-headed Brahma, like this unbelievable number of Brahmas standing there and offering their respects to Krishna. That made him think, I'm nobody. He realized that at that point. So, and he's saying here,
Kvaham tamo mahad aham khacharagni varbur sammeshtidanda gadasapta vitastikaya.
That billions and billions of Brahmandam are there and they are floating around like trasareno. Trasareno means this, when you have a hole in the window, through that if you see the sunlight coming in, you will see some small minute particles of dust in that. That is called a trasareno. In third canto you will see it is explained, this Paramanu, Trasareno, Anu and everything. So in that third canto, 11th chapter, you will see Trasareno. Trasareno is flying around everywhere. But we don't see all the Trasareno. You can only see them when through a hole or something, sunlight is coming. In that sunlight you will see. Similarly, the dust is everywhere, floating around. We don't see all that. But when the sunlight comes in that hole, you will see this dust floating in that sunlight. That is Trasareno. So, he says, that Trasareno, we will only see that one which comes through the hole of the window or something, that, and so many Trasareno that is floating in that small ray of sunlight that is coming in. And what is outside that ray of light, or this side or that side, we won't see. Only that is coming through the light, you will see there. Similarly, this billions and billions of universes that is there, you will see their existence when Krishna wants you to see them. We are busy seeing through our telescope all these things, isn't it? And seeing that this is what exists. And they're completely confused with that. So every time when they look, they're all different. That is the funniest thing. They're looking one time and they get certain photos. And they think it will remain like that all the time. No, it doesn't. Then photos taken 50 years ago is different than the photos what they're getting now. So they're saying, and there's a thing called that black hole, big thing, isn't it? Everything, once it has gone into the black hole, it doesn't come up. They want to know what is going on inside that black hole. They could never find it. So they realize that there is a lot to study, another thesis for the PhD, to studying that black hole. People are studying all these kind of things, the black hole in the sky. And that black hole you can never understand. Never understand. So, what to talk about the black hole? The whole creation itself is like that, right? So, we are just playing, messing around with all these things. Does it mean anything? Nothing. So, there is so much, Brahma is saying, which I cannot know. He is in charge of one universe and he is saying, I only thought only this one Brahmanda universe existed. But now I realize there are many more universes like this. And what do we say? We think we have understood this one universe. Even this one universe we have not understood. This is where we are today. Is it not? So, Brahma is saying like this, the universes I know is only a few. But how many universes exist which I do not know? That I don't know. He says, how many exist outside my knowledge? How many exist? I do not know that. So, that is why he is saying, when Krishna's mercy comes, then you will know what is creation. Because this creation is a very difficult thing for everybody, isn't it? People ask the question, who created all this? If you want, you can listen to this. Some of the most intellectual people discussing about creation in the program called The Big Questions. Last one, last issue in the iPlayer. You can listen to it. How they've understood. They're asking, this very funny thing, people, how much their brain has gone to think about all these things. They're saying there that in this creation, who created? So one group is saying who has created, another group is saying who has created. They're arguing about that. That argument is going on. On the other hand, there is also argument, will there be an end? Yes, there's going to be an end. They've all decided there's going to be an end. When will that end be? They say their scriptures are saying like this, the end is going to come after a certain term of time. What does Vedantam say? Look at that. That is where the difference is. It is very, very difficult for them to understand. That is why the Rishi's perception of the creation, Rishi's perception of the annihilation is different. It's different. Where is this world existing? That's the question they have asked first. Before they thinking. Whereas in all other religions, you can see this, they are saying, it was created at such and such a time, and it will end at such and such a time. That is the main discussion in that particular program, run by some of the top intelligent people of this society. And they are saying there, to them, this is a strong, heated argument about it, that when it's going to end. And the way they are vouching, their shastram is saying like this, it will end at such and such a time. So, and there are the atheists also in that group, who doesn't believe in anything. And they're arguing, they're having fun at the cost of these scriptures. They're having good fun at the cost of all these scriptures. But you can see when Upanishads are talking about creation, Upanishads are talking about annihilation, how, from which angle they are looking at it, and to make us aware, first of all, what is the world? What is this thing called creation? Isn't it? If you don't understand what is creation, then all this has no meaning. Creation from other scriptures, when they are looking at it, it's all this, what is created and what you see with your eyes. Is it not? So there itself, things are difficult for them to answer that way. Anyway, that's not our intention, is this. Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi, Upanishad. Kathopanishad is saying, yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. If Krishna is not behind, this creation is not there. Why do you feel the existence of the creation? They are not discussing that. They are saying, that means in everything what you are seeing, what you are studying, what you are analyzing, in everything, you are keeping yourself outside that and you are discussing about the rest. Whereas, Brahma is saying here, look at that verse 55, in the 13th chapter. Evam sagrudadashaja parabrahmalpano akhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi sacharacharam. Creation is nothing but what Krishna is showing to you, that is your creation. What, which means what? Andaryami, inside, what he is giving you that experience, that is why world is different for every one of us. We are only used to seeing things through the senses, and what we see, we accept as creation. This is the biggest blunder. Creation is not what you see through your eyes or what you hear through your ears. Creation is what is the experience you have inside from the world, what you say as the world, that experience is your creation. Experience is your creation. That's why different for different people. Yasya, and who makes that happen? Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. By whose presence all these things are experienced by us? For example, like we experience this planet to some extent, this planet. Even this whole planet we don't experience ourselves. We don't know what's going on deep down the sea, for that matter. We know certain things, what we see with our eyes, what we experience in this world, the heat, the cold, and a little bit of things. Or we know some places in this world where we go as tourists or holiday makers and enjoy that or come back. And you feel that you have understood this planet, isn't it? But how much have we understood this planet? There's a lot to know still about this planet, what we do not know. So, for example, earthquake. We still don't have a clear explanation to that, why that happens. Okay, they will say that this tectonic plate and all it moved and all that, that's a superficial explanation to that. But they're not able to come out with an answer that why the climate changes like this, why changes are happening. Although superficially they give you some explanation to that. But what I'm saying is, even with this one planet, we don't know what is going on here. And Brahma is saying that I understood, admitting that this universe is not the only one, there are millions and millions of universes outside this. And due to yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi, you experience that by whose presence? Krishna's presence. Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. Vibhadi sacharacharam. Similarly, all the living beings here in this world, if Krishna wants it, then we will know who is in the moon planet. If Krishna wants it, we will know who is in the sun planet. Prabhupada used to say this, to say that there is no living entity, living being in the sun planet is unacceptable. Why? The 60,000 Balagilya spoken in the Bhagavatam, they live in the sun planet. So, to conclude that only what you see through your eyes, what you hear through your ears is the only truth, there is nothing more stupid than that. So that shows that we are in that state, what can be done? So rishis who knew this problem, they will not discard things simply because that our senses are telling us like that. No, senses are not the proper tools to measure all these things, to understand all this. Senses has its limitations. They've understood that senses can mislead you very easily, isn't it? Just by seeing the sun planet, the size of it looks so small from here, when you look at that itself shows the limitation of the eye. Limitation of the eye. And you are depending on these senses to get to know the truth. How will you get it? You will never get it with the senses. So, therefore, just like we don't understand this planet, Brahma saying, I understand this universe because it's come through me. But what about all the other remaining universes? I never knew about their existence. So, that is why he's saying here that yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. That is the underlying principle. That only what you want, need to know, what Krishna allows you to have, need to know, allows you to know, you will know that. That's how much you will know. There is so much which we do not know, which Krishna doesn't want us to know. So, Krishna is like that. This is Krishna Tattvam. Krishna Tattvam has to be understood in this way. So then Brahma is saying, where is He and where am I? comparing himself. He says, what's my situation? What is his situation? Who? This cowherd boy standing in the front, talking about Krishna. He says, what is his situation? So, the sunlight, when it comes through the hole, it only gives us a perception of a few of this, what we call trasareno, few particles of dust in there, isn't it? If it is like that, can you imagine, under the influence of the sun, how many of these trasareno will be there? In sunlight you will be able to see. How many exist like that? We don't even know that. You can never count them, isn't it? So, similarly, the root of all these things is Krishna. Root of all these things is Krishna. How can I know these things without Krishna's allowing me to see that? How will I know? That is Brahma's statement. Yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi sacharacharam. It is from that he is saying his limitations. How limited we are. If Brahma is saying he is limited, imagine how limited we are. So, kvaham tamo mahadaham kharajaragnivar bhu sammeshti danda ghata sapti vitasti kaya kedrugvidha viganidanda paranacharyam vadadhva roma vivarasya chati mahitvam. Because the difficulty, he says here, that material nature, prakriti, mahatattvam, ahangaram, panchabhutam, these are all the covering. Five material elements covering. Then there is ahangaram, covering of the ahangaram, then the mahatattvam, and then the prakriti. All these things covers this one brahmandam. And in this brahmandam, my body, he says, probably 7 feet long, not more than that, he says, and where am I and where is this coverage? Coverage itself is so big. And similarly, millions of universes like this, who are coming through the different pores of hair in the body of Krishna, where are you? You can see that for every inhaling and exhaling, millions of universes are coming out, millions are going back in the creation process. So how would you understand all these things? Why these are spoken in that way is to make us aware our limitations. That we will never understand by our process of inquiry, the way we are inquiring or way we are running the experiments in that way. That is what he is saying there. That I cannot even compare my position with Krishna's. And how can I know that Mahaprabhu, that Krishna in this way? I'll never be able to understand. So that is why you will see one statement that in the 14th chapter, in the 14th chapter you will see the statement that we look at that verse 45. So in the 13th chapter. That means, without recognizing Maya, first of all, we have to accept there is a thing called Maya here. Only if you accept Maya, then only you will know your limitations. Scientists, do they accept Maya? They don't have a clue what Maya means, isn't it? For them, everything is instruments and going here and going there and finding out what's going on. What kind of inquiry is this? Look at that verse, 13th chapter. Tamyam tamovan naiharam khadyodar chiri vahani mahidaramayesham nihandyalmini yunjada. Tamyam tamovan naiharam khadyodar chiri vahani mahidaramayesham nihandyalmini yunjada. He says that in a dark night, when there is, you feel due to fog or mist is total darkness, and or in the day when there is this, you know that glowworm, how the glowworm is, that glowworm gives you some light in the dark. In the those who have seen the glowworms, some people may not have even seen the glowworm. So the glowworm, in the very pitch dark, it comes, especially after rain or something like that. You'll notice them. And when it comes, suddenly it shows you something to you. In that little light, you get to see something in that pitch darkness. Similarly, if we try to break through this Maya, this covering what we have, in Mahalpas or great personalities, if we try to understand them or measure them or try to judge them from our point of view, if we try to do that with them, what will happen is Maya will never allow you to have the knowledge of the self. That's the way Maya works. Mahatmas who have realized the truth, and if we are thinking about them, that what do they know? It is quite natural, isn't it? In this world, people, when they are self-realized, others who are not able to understand them, they look at them in a different way. And they are seeing that these people have putting up all these things in front of the world. What do they understand? Because for the atheist who does not have any spiritual understanding of life, he is seeing life purely on the platform of through his senses, isn't it? So he's trying to establish the judge the realized souls also through the senses, and therefore they fail. What Bhagavatam is saying there, that whatever they are seeing in this world is what they see like in the light of the glowworm. That's what they know about this world, about this creation. Unless Krishna reveals to us, this is the problem with this fifth canto. If we want to understand all what is spoken in the fifth canto, the only way to know that is through Krishna's mercy. If he reveals to us, like Shukadeva Brahmarshi is seeing that, and he is telling us that this is how it is. Ilavarada Varsham, Lord Shiva is there with Sri Parvati, Hari Varsham, and Kedumala, and all other Varshams that he spoken there. Uttaraguru, all Varshams, Bharata Varsham, everything. And this is what is going on there. But because of our constantly, completely under the influence of Maya, we don't see anything. You are seeing all these things, we don't see anything. And we say, oh, you must be trying to dodge us, aren't you? This is how conclusion we have come to. Totally ignorance inside, ignorance outside. And in this body, we are judging others. Imagine that. How ignorant we are. Is it not? That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, so many things in the Bhagavatam to understand, unless Krishna's grace is there, it's not possible to even to understand that. So that is why he's saying here, that when there is plenty of sunshine, this glowworm, you can't even notice it. That it is, because you will only notice it in the darkness, isn't it? So suppose in a night time when there is no sunlight, you are seeing this glowworm. And looking at that, will you be able to say what the sunshine is like during the day? How can you compare that, those two things, isn't it? So where is the light of the glowworm and where is the light of sunshine, isn't it? Sun planet. So how can you say that how big the sunshine is compared to the light of the glowworm? So you will never be able to understand the sun by seeing this glowworm. You will never be able to explain or understand the sun. Similarly, Brahma is saying here, by seeing this world the way what you are seeing now, and your experience, whatever you may have as you consider yourself, that you will never be able to understand the creation. Never be able to understand this creation. And and when will that get cleared, this vision? When this thought aham inside, ahangaram inside or aham inside, you will never know the satyam, the truth. Truth is never known when the ahankaram is inside. Therefore, what is required? That's what that verse is saying in the 26th, if you verse. If you look in the 14th chapter, what is the 26th verse? Ajnana samyo bhavabandha moksho do namananyo stakhradajna bhava ajastrakityalpani kevale pare vijayamani tarana vivahani. Brahmasuti is like this. You have to go back and forth many times. Certain things, when you have to explain in the Brahmasuti, you need help from the Upanishads knowledge background behind it. He's saying here, ajnana samyo bhava bandha moksho do nama nanyo stakhradajna bhava ajasrajityalpini kevale pare vijayamani tarana vivahani. He's saying here, difficult thing about this creation. How? What is the difficulty he's saying here? Krishna, by the very definition in the Shastram, is he is bodham, isn't it? Pure consciousness. Krishna Tattva means pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness is akhandam, unbroken it is. All the time it exists in us, is it not? What else? It is anubhava swarupam. This, if you say, the only one thing what you are experiencing all the time is the existence of your own existence, awareness of your own existence. That's the only thing you are experiencing all the time, which will never go, because it's that thing that is keeping you as you are. If that's not there, you're not there. So, akhandam, and it is also anubhava swarupam, both. And when you go into the that side of it, when you look from that side about ourselves, and you can see that separated from that awareness, nothing else is existing here for a realized person. One who has realized that for us now everything exists. Namarupam exists. World exists like the way we are seeing through the senses. Kartrutvam exists, Bhoktrutvam exists, Bandham exists, Moksham exists. But a person who has freed himself from that, Ajnana Samyo Bhava Bandha Moksha, who has come to this state that from Bhava, Bhava means repeated birth and death, bondage and liberation. This is another important topic in the Bhagavadam, bondage and liberation. You will see in Bhagavad when you read through, a lot of doubts will come about it. It's nothing you can do about it. That's the way it is. Bhavabandha moksha. You see, in one place, Krishna is saying, Muktim dadahi karhijal smana bhakti yogam. He says, I give mukti easily to people, but bhakti I don't. He says that. You know that where it is? It's in the fifth canto. While talking about Rishabhadevs to Bharata and others, there he says that Muktim dadadi karhi jalsmana bhakti yogam. Bhakti I give easily, but mukti I don't give easily. Mukti I give easily, bhakti I don't give easily, Krishna says there. Last line it is in the fifth canto, one chapter. Can't remember. Muktim dadadi karhi jalsmana bhakti yogam. Bhakti I don't give. I don't give it to anyone easily. Mukti is not a problem. I give easily, he says. You read that. And everybody else is telling you, bhakti is very simple. You don't need anything more than that to get confused. Isn't it? How many times have you heard, bhakti is very simple? All other processes are very difficult. So Krishna is saying, bhakti I don't give easily, mukti I give freely. He's saying, all we want is some mukti. So this is the whole interesting thing in the Bhagavadam. Then that means if you don't understand what mukti is, if you don't understand what bhakti is, you can get completely confused with that. You can see that verse if you want to. Some of these statements in the Upanishads as well as in the Bhagavadam is very confusion. What chapter? 6 5, I think. Isn't the 5?
Yeah. No, it's in the 6th chapter.
6th chapter, right? Okay. So, let's look at that. This doubt will come to you as soon as you read Bhagavatam. We are telling this to the world. Look, our process is very simple. It's the fastest, fast-track method. You follow this, all other processes are difficult. And Krishna is saying there that Nityana Buddha Nijalavana Vrutta Trishna Shreya Sadan Rajanaya Chira Supta Buddhihi Loga Seya Karunaya Payatma Lokam Akhyanamo Bhagavade Shabhaya Dasmai. The verse before that. Rajan Padar Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priya Kulavadi Kwajakingarova Astueva Manga Bhagavan Bhajadam Mukundo Muktim Dadadi Karhe Jelsma Na Bhakti Yogam. Bhakti is not given easily. Muktim Dadadi. Mukti is given. Karhe Jelsma Na Bhakti Yogam. Bhakti is not given easily like that. This is in one place, right? In other places, you will see that about bhakti, what is it spoken? There is no other process easier than bhakti. That's why we say to people, listen, come to bhakti yogam. Why struggle through ashtanga yogam? Why struggle through jnana yogam? Come to bhakti yogam. Everything is so simple. Chant, dance and be happy and go back and feast, enjoy life. So many things we misunderstand about bhakti like that. So in the Bhagavatam, when we read all these things, you got to be a little bit thoughtful about this. Why is it spoken in this way? That on the one hand, bhakti is glorified so much. And we say this is the process for majority of the people. Krishna also says that bhakti is the process. Is it not? He says, those who have got total renunciation and detachment, for them, process of knowledge will work. In the 11th canto, you will see that. And those who are very attracted by to action and karma, karma yoga will work for them. And those who are not very attached, those who are not very absorbed in the karma, for them bhakti yoga will work, which is the majority of the people. Bhakti yoga will be effective for them. So we are all sitting here thinking that we have taken the best process, the simplest process, easiest process, and we are all on our way home. We have got into this in our head, is it not? But try to see through the Bhagavatam, how Bhagavatam is presenting to us. Mukti we give easily, but bhakti I don't give, he says. So why should I go after bhakti then? That question naturally comes. Is it not? Muktim dadadi. So I have, you will say, okay, I don't want bhakti, give me mukti. I am more than satisfied with mukti. But there is a difference. That's why we have not understood what mukti is, what bhakti is. In Podana Moksham, all these things are a little bit clearer than this. Where, whenever Sugapa Brahmarshi says that there is mukti is also in different levels of mukti. Mukti is, sometimes you will argue, this is what the problem is. If you study the theory of the mukti, then you will come up with some, there is 5 kinds of mukti, we say. There is no other mukti, only these 5 kinds of mukti. That's how we will understand mukti, isn't it? What are they? The salokyam, samipyam, sarupyam, sayujyam, sarshti. The 5 different kinds of liberation. It is written in the book, it is spoken in the course, so there's only these 5 kinds. There's no other mukti. So we will think when you read that, one of these 5 I will get it. Is it not? That is how you will conclude that if you have studied that theory properly. Samipyam, salokyam, sarshti, devotee, this is the question in the testing for the examination. How many kinds of mukti exist? So if you answer all the 5, you got 5 full points. 5 points, you got all the 5 correct. Salokyam, samipyam, sarshti, sarupyam, or whatever. Yeah, sayujyam. So there's 5 kinds of mukti, right? So question answer, that is fine. That's okay. That's good. That much is good. But what is mukti means? That's where you have to ask this question. What is Krishna saying like this? Muktim dadadi karhejal smanam bhakti yogam. It's all spoken in different levels. How do we understand? Mukti means, for example, a person is suffering in this world, right? He wants to free from this miseries of this material world. So if you go to Krishna with a desire to free yourself from the misery in some form, then he will temporarily relieve you. By Krishna's grace, you may come out of that situation if your prarabdham is not against it. There is a possibility that you will get some relief here. That mukti is given is, that is also mukti, freedom from the misery. That is mukti. That mukti does not mean only those five things what is spoken there. This is a kind of freedom from your miseries in this world. It's a kind of mukti. When it comes to bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, remember that verse in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna is saying here, Nirabeksham vanim shandam nurveiram samadarshinam anuprajami aham nityam puyeye tyankri renubhi. He says, I follow that person. It's not that I give him bhakti, I follow him. That is bhakti Krishna is referring to in that verse. So, muktim dahami karhijil smana bhakti yogam. When you analyze that verse, you have to understand from which position Krishna is bringing that to us. When he is talking about bhakti there, that bhakti where Krishna says, I follow them, he says, anuvrajami aham nityam puyeye di ankri renubhi. I take the dust from their feet and honor myself with their bhakti. That is bhakti, what Krishna considers as bhakti. That bhakti, I give that to very, 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 very few people. Very, very few persons have that bhakti. But other thing, that bhakti, even mukti, freedom from this misery, I give it to many people. It's not something very precious as far as I am concerned. Krishna is concerned. That is why when you read those verses, and when you understand mukti and bhakti and all that, you got to think in a different way rather than simply reading the verses and their technical explanations to that, definitions to that. So, you will never be, say here, that ajnana bandhav bhavabandha moksha, ajnana samyu bhavabandha moksha, dho nama nanyavstha hridatnya bhavad, ajasrajitra alpini kevale pari vijaryamani tarana vivahani. He says, how will you understand the glory of Krishna? How is it possible to know the glory of Krishna? In order to know that, first thing you have to know, how small you are in front of him. Not to know how big he is, but to know how small you are in front of Krishna. If you know that, then you will know how big he is. This is how Brahma puts it there. Ajasrajitya atmani kevale pare vijaryamane tarana vivahani. Do nama nanyusta khradatnya bhaval. So, in front of that truth, Krishna, how small I am, knowing that is knowing Krishna. To know yourself how small you are. And as long as you know how small you are, how insignificant we are, and when you start realizing that this insignificant me, Krishna has given me a form, a place in this world, given me some livelihood here, and allowing me to survive here in this mess here, and the capacity to act in this world, and making all these things going on day after day like this, and how much merciful he is by doing this to me. If I am able to acknowledge that, Krishna is giving me so much mercy. First of all, I am so insignificant. And to me, he has given me a body, and he has given me the facilities in this world to live. And not only that, given me different activities to do here. Apart from that, he also makes everything happen according to that desires in me. It fulfilling the desires in different forms at different times. And all these things wouldn't have happened If that mercy is not coming from him, how, on my own, what capacity do I have to do this? So, you will start experiencing that mercy inside when you start seeing this, how limited we are. That is the first point Brahma is making here. Ajnana samyo bhava bandha moksho do namananyo sakhadajnya bhaval ajasrajitya alpani kevale pare vijayamane tarana vivahani tarana vahani. If you don't take that approach, if you don't take this approach, then you will never be able to understand. You are sitting there and thinking that how big is Krishna? How is he? Who is he? And what is his position? If you keep asking these questions, you will never get the answer. The only way to know about Krishna is to go down further and to first recognize your own position, how insignificant and low we are in our position, and then little by little that realization will come from the other side. So, Brahma is saying this, not an ordinary person. He says, I am so insignificant and Brahma's opinion is this. He is giving this because he is the topmost personality here in this universe, and he is giving this understanding to us. This is how you try to understand Krishna. This is how you try to understand Krishna. And he is paying obeisances and showing to us, just like the way I am doing it, you do it in front of Krishna. Pay your obeisances and make yourself insignificant that way. That is why Brahma has been brought in here. If Brahma is showing this to us, should we have any problem in accepting that one who controlling the whole universe is acknowledging the glory of Krishna and surrendering to him by his realizing who he is, isn't it? So, at least you can imagine Krishna's glory by going through these verses, what Brahma has spoken. Krishna's glories you can understand. If Brahma is coming down and paying obeisances to Krishna and acknowledging Krishna's position like this, what should we be doing? If we have some intelligence, we should be following Brahma's path. Is it not? Brahma is teaching us. This is how it is. And instead of sitting there and trying to think that I understand Krishna, I understand anything about Krishna. What do we understand about Krishna? Nothing. We understand nothing about Krishna. Is it not? So, Brahma is saying here, but if you want to experience that, know it properly, then this insignificant situation of us should be known first. At that time, at least a little bit of Krishna's mercy you will understand. Brahma says, little bit of that mercy you will understand. So, so that is why he's saying there that who cannot understand Krishna, who cannot understand Krishna, and who cannot experience Krishna's mercy, because what we have is only Krishna with us. What do we have with us? Only Krishna, isn't it? That awareness inside, that's all what we have got. Nothing else. Nothing is ours actually, otherwise. Body is not ours. The world is, we have nothing here. Intelligence is not ours. Mind is not ours. Senses are not ours. Nothing is ours. But you can always say, Krishna is yours. Why? That awareness is inside all the time. And that is what you are identifying actually with. That is what actually we are, that awareness inside. So, that is why, that because of that awareness is inside, that you are feeling all this connection with the body, connection with the mind, connection with the senses, connection with the world, and all your other activities in this world is all centered around that awareness. Aham, aham. So, that is why he's saying there, you can see that verse in the, that is the verse 29. Look at that verse. Adhabide deva padambu jadvayam prasadalesha anugrihidamevahi janadi dattvam bhagavan mahimno na janyamego vichiram vichinnuan. Athapide deva padambuja dvayam prasada leshanu grihidamevahi janadi tattvam Bhagavan Mahimno Najanyame Gobijiram Vijinvan. He's saying there that that even though mukti may come through jnanam, through knowledge, you may receive mukti, but only if you have Krishna's grace, prasada leshanu grihidam evahi. Only if you have Krishna's grace, only then you will understand Krishna, Krishna's glory. Only if you have His grace, you will understand Krishna's glory. That you may not understand through amukti. Mukti is freedom from the misery of this material existence. You may come out of that. That will happen through knowledge. It can happen. But unless there is Krishna's grace, Krishna's glory will not be understood. How great Krishna is, that is impossible to know. Athabide deva padambujadvayam prasadaleshanu grihidamevahi janami tattvam. Tattvam will never know. Janami tattvam Bhagavan Mahimno. Bhagavan Mahimno Tattvam Janami. That Krishna's tattvam, glory is Mahima. That Tattvam you will not understand otherwise, he is saying here. Who had got that Tattvam? Who understood that Tattvam? Who got that opportunity to know that? He says, these cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna. These gopis who are with Krishna. These cowherd boys, these cows and these calves, all these trees here and all the plants and creepers, all the butterflies, the peacocks and all other living beings who are present in this Vrindavanam, they have been given that opportunity to understand Krishna, who Krishna is. They understand Krishna's glories. That is what he is saying here. Brahma is seeing them now even smaller than the smallest living being in Vrindavanam. Even a creeper and the plant, Brahma says, even they are more higher position than me. Why? They have been given the opportunity to be with Krishna. I was not given that, he says. Even though I am controlling the whole universe, this one universe, I have not been given this opportunity to be with Krishna here in Vrindavanam. Whereas all these personal charajaram, all these living entities here, they have all been invited to come and participate in this lila there. So just see how Brahma is seeing Vrindavanam. Brahma is glorifying Vrindavanam for this reason, that whoever had been there at that time with Krishna, involved in all the pastimes there, they have been invited there and to participate in that. I was not invited because I am not close to Krishna, like the way they are close to Krishna. They are close to Krishna. So in order that to happen, they all got that good fortune of having able to associate with Krishna. And to come to that, how many lifetimes they must have served Krishna to come to this situation. I haven't done that, Brahma saying. To get to Brahma's position, you see in the Bhagavatam, if you read, that any jiva can come to Brahma's position, Indra's position and all that. After serving so many lifetimes, Krishna, you will get there. But to come to this situation, Brahma saying, I haven't reached that state yet. Brahma's condition. So, only that you will know this, that how close Krishna is to us and how dear He is to us, how close we are to Krishna. This you can only know at that time when you have come to their state. Only at that time you will know about that. That's why I'm saying there that Tadastu me natha sabhuri bhago. 30, verse 30. Bhavetra vanyatra duva tirascham yena hamekobi bhavajananam bhutva nisheve tava pada vallavam. Tadastu me natha sabhuri bhago. Bhavetra vanyatra duva tirascham yena hamekobi bhavajananam bhutva nisheve tava pada vallavam. His prayer was that I want to be like them, like the associates, the cows, the calves, the gopis, the cowherd boys, and the trees, the plants, the creepers, the birds, the animals, who had the opportunity to play with Krishna there. They were selected for that because they, how many lifetimes they must have served Krishna to come to that state? Brahma is asking them. So, in order to come to that state, I have to serve you, Brahma is saying here. And only then we will know this, how close we are to you and how close you are to us. So, that opportunity, you should give it to us. And you will see that in the in that verse that if you look at the 10th verse, Brahmastuti, you cannot go verse by verse. Why? Because the Upanishads has been, there is a flow of the message in the Upanishads and the Brahma's prayers. And so if you go like this, you will probably feel something from these prayers, in these prayers. Atachamaswa achyuta me rajo bhuvo ajana dattat pradagishamaninam ajavale bandhatamondha chakshusha esho anukambyo mainadhavaniti. 10th verse. Ada kshamasu achyuta me rajo bhuvo ajana dattat pradagishamaninam ajava lebhanda tamondha chakshusha esho anugambyo mai nathavaniti. Brahma says, I know where I stand compared to them, compared to all the calves and the cows and the cowherd boys and the gobies and also the trees, plants, creepers and the birds, animals there. In relationship with that, where do I stand? I know where I am, he saying. Esho anugambho ata kshamasu achyutame rajobho. In me, there is so much rajogunam. In me, there is so much rajogunam in me. Therefore, forgive me for that. Apologies for that, for my rajogunam in me. Because only because of rajogunam, Brahma felt like sitting comfortably in his office there, without coming here and seeing Krishna and paying his obeisances there. He sat there. So why is that? Rajogunam. Rajogunam in Brahma. And similarly you will see when four Kumaras asked the question, he couldn't answer. What did he say? Rajogunam in him. So he couldn't answer that, isn't it? So Ada Kshamasa Achyuta me Rajobhuo Ajanadat Pratagisha Maninam. Then I could never understand who you are. Suppose I have a lot of Rajogunam inside me, I will not be able to recognize the glory of a great personality. What I mean is the spiritually realized soul. I won't know that because of the Rajogunam's presence in me. I will just look at him outwardly and see, oh, he thinks he is realized and all. I have doubts about it, I would say. Or I'll make some stupid statement like that. That's what he's saying here. Adakshamasa Achyuta, I thought that you are just a cowherd boy here, playing with all these cowherd men and gobis and passing time. I didn't know you, who you were. Why? Because of my rajogunam. Not your fault. My rajogunam inside. So it's the same thing with us also. When we have rajogunam, you won't recognize in other persons their position. You won't know that. Adakshamasachudame rajogunam, rajovibhuo ajanada tvat pratagisha maninam is saying here. So therefore, he finishes that verse. Look at the last line. Esho anugambyo mai nathavaniti. That's the only solution to this problem. Esho anugambyo mai nathavaniti. You have to show some mercy to me. What can I do? Brahma is saying he has got rajogunam. I can't do anything. What am I supposed to do if I have rajogunam like that? Kali also said the same thing to Krishna. You remember? He says to Krishna, you gave me, put all this tamogunam in me, and you expect me to recognize you, who you are. I couldn't. But when you kept on kicking me on my head, then that ahangaram inside, ahangaram is tamogunam, isn't it? Kaliya was full of ego inside, strong ego. So when he kept kicking ahangaram, He is kicking the ahangaram in Kaliya. He is vomiting it out. These are all the gross explanation of the subtle thing what's happening in Kaliya. Dancing, Krishna dances on Kaliya. We are looking at beautiful dancing, it is, we say. What does that dancing means? Kaliya said to Krishna that you are doing a very bad thing to me, he said. What is that? You packed this body. This body is full of tamogunam. Which one? The snake. Kaliya. And you expect me to behave like a saint. How is that possible? He said. Kaliya said this to Krishna. Full of tamogunam, how do you expect me to behave like a saint? Similarly, Brahma is saying here, it's full of rajogunam in me. How do you expect me to recognize you who you are? Because ahangaram inside. This rajogunam, tamogunam, that's what it does to us. It develops this ahangaram inside so strongly that we will not see the things in the proper way. We will see everything in a colored way. They are the two colors, red and the black, the two colors. Won't see it properly. So that is exactly he also saying. He's saying here that esho anukambyo mai nadhavaniti. Show some anukamba. Anukamba means compassion towards me. And you be my master. You be my master, my nadhavaniti. And be my natha or my maintainer. And in that way you guide me through. Otherwise I will not never see the truth. He's saying. I'll never see the truth. When is Brahma saying this? In this pastime, right? And if you look into the second canto, you will see when he first got this self-realization from Krishna, the only thing he had to say to Krishna was that Nathan Nadida Nathaya. You'll see. If you look into the second canto, in the ninth chapter, you'll see right before the Chatushloki Bhagavadam. You will see a verse there where it says there that right before that he is saying that the verses beginning with 9th chapter 32, 33, 34, 35, that's the Chatushloki. Right before that he is saying to Krishna, Brahma is saying, Tatha 25, verse 25. Tatha binathamanasya nathanathaya nathitam paravareyatarube janiyam te turubina. He says, Tatha binathamanasya nathanathaya nathitam paravareyatarube janiyam te turubina. Natha, he says, Natha. Natha means guide me. You are the guide. You are my Lord. I have no other way. And what do? Please fulfill this desire. What is that desire? Desire is this, that you are taking different forms in stuvilam and sushmam. I will never be able to understand this, he's saying. That you are accepting these different forms of different incarnations, different forms in this world. Everybody is Krishna's manifestation at the end. Particularly, not only the different incarnations. Of course, there are all the incarnations are Krishna's manifestation. Then all the great rishis are Krishna's manifestation. Like Vishwamitra, Vasishta, and the Prajavadis. All of them are Krishna's manifestation, right? And then, apart from that, all the great yogis and jnanis are Krishna's manifestation. They are all Krishna's manifestation. But I am unable to recognize all of them, he says. But for devotees' help, to help the devotees, you have taken different forms. Sri Narada Maharshi is Krishna's manifestation, another manifestation. So, for sake of those who are looking for self-realization, and for the sake of the for those who are coming to the spiritual path for their benefit, you have taken all these different forms and helping them to come back to the spiritual realization for that purpose. And for that purpose, you are taking gross form and sometimes subtle form also. Stula Surubam and Sushma Surubam. Both you are taking that. But I am not able to know that properly. I have no idea. So he says there that you can see that Brahman, Bhagavan, Tathapi Nathamanasya Natha Nathaya Nathitam Paravare Yatha Rube janiyam te turubina. That is saying there, tathavi nathamanasya natha nathaya nathidam. That we are actually anatha. Anatha means helpless in this world. Brahma is saying, I am helpless. Natha nathaya nathidam. He natha. Or one who is capable of guiding us through, take us through the direction in such a way that we will know you. Your subtle forms, your gross forms, and all your other manifestations in this world. Natha nathaya nathidam, he's saying here. And that is what Brahma is repeating here in this prayer. Esho anugambyo mai nathavanidhi. So, in the second gando itself, Brahma has started this saying, natha nathaya nathidam. Again he is saying here, mai nathavanidhi, mai nathavanidhi. So, actually, all of us are protected by Krishna. If not, we couldn't function here. We won't be here as we are now, if Krishna is not there with us. All of us are protected. Natha nathaya nathidam. Otherwise, we couldn't be maintained in this way. None of us are actually helpless. Krishna is with us all the time. But, in order that we get that realization inside, Krishna himself has to teach us that. Krishna has to make us aware that. Only then we will become aware of that fact that Krishna is maintaining us. At the moment we are not thinking like that. Is it not? We are not thinking like that. We are going on doing things according to our ways and whatever we think is proper, completely independent from everything. But Bhagavadam and Brahma is saying to us that natha nathaya nathidam, that none of us are helpless in this world. Krishna is with us all the time and he is guiding us and helping us and to live here. But that awareness of that will only happen when Krishna wants us to become aware of that. At the moment that connection is broken. Krishna has to tell us one way. Tell us means to make us aware that Krishna is with us all the time. And that has to become our, we have to become experience level. We have to come to that in our experience. Only then we will become confirmed. We will become sure about that. Up to that point, you will only say what is in the book. But that's not good enough. That's what Brahma is saying, that till Krishna make us experience that Krishna is with us all the time, in all situations, because you can see that our very existence is based on Krishna. The awareness, isn't it? That's Krishna. We know that body is not ours, mind is not ours, intelligence is not ours, senses are not ours, and obviously none of the other things in this world. They are all going to go one day. But then, what is with you? It's only Krishna who is with you all the time. So, natha nathaya nathidam. That awareness to come, that Krishna alone is with us all the time, and Krishna alone is looking after us, nobody else is looking after us. It's a big shift from our current state of thoughts. At the moment we are thinking job is providing the living, and shops are providing the food, and the bank balance is protecting us. All false places, we have a lot of faith in all these falsities. But to go away from that and to feel that Krishna is looking after, Krishna is protecting, Krishna is providing the food, to come to that realization, that is what Brahma is saying, that is natha. Natha means that he is helping you and guiding us through life every moment, every second. Natha, 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 natha. So give me that understanding. And that can only happen when Krishna gives it to us. It cannot happen simply by our effort. That is where, again, glorifying Krishna through the Bhagavata Dharma. Through the Bhagavata Dharma. So we'll stop there today. Tomorrow we'll continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.